Welcome to the Canister Podcast, episode number 285. Fueled by First Form, baby.
Yikes.
Dude, you're spilling everything.
God, my bad, dude.
Hey, guys, what's going on? What is going on? I felt horrible this morning.
Oh, really?
I felt really,
well,
really
I wonder
bad.
Why. Tell us why you were feeling
horrible. Well, we had a long weekend. Great weekend. We got to give Chaser a shout-out, man. Mm-hmm. And
That's a lot of timing.
That's so rude to do
that. Can you believe that happened?
That's
right
rude
when
to do
we
that.
Started?
Turn it off.
Yeah, it's off now.
So anyway, I just felt
I gotta
terrible
keep the buzzer
this morning.
On because there's a lot of
that's
things
fine.
Going on
He's
today.
Very, very important person. Yeah, yeah. But like, if you stay out as late as Andy and I did, I'm not used to doing that too much. Mm-hmm. And we did Friday night for the Puck Cancer event, which was fantastic. But I woke up this morning as at 4:12, and I'm like, oh God.
4:12.
Yeah.
Is that what time your alarm goes off? Now, why 12? Is that like a superstition?
It just, I don't know. No.
You don't do 4:10.
4:15. It could be 4:15, but it was 4:12 it went off, and I'm like, fuck.
Oh, well, if it's 4:12, you set it for 4:12.
Yeah, because right? It's just there. I don't know why. It's just there.
Like
so
4:12. Is there any like.
Nothing. Has nothing to do with
no?
Not like a code for anything.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right.
But man, it was just one of those where I'm like, damn, this is going to be a. But I feel good now.
Yeah.
But it was a long weekend, dude.
Well, dude, you just pounded. This guy's pounding McDonald's like in his car before he
had to get.
In.
I had to
no,
eat some.
No, you didn't have to do that.
Well, if I don't,
you're going to talk about these guys like that.
No. Oh, okay? I told Nikki.
I mean, you're gonna talk about how to like put like good things in your body. First Form, fueled by First Form, and this guy is just. Pounding McDonald's here.
I just
today.
Had one bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit because I was up so early. It was a weird weekend with all kinds of partying going on, and I needed food in my system to handle Andy for another 2.5 hours after I just got off the radio for 3 hours. If I don't have food in my system, like just like a good base, I get fucking pissy and I don't want to do
that. Oh, is that what
and
it
so
is?
Then I gotta you'll piss me off. Mm-hmm. Then I gotta listen to it and I'm like, God damn it. And I gotta delete things. It just makes my day a lot longer.
You ever have that friend who is kind of like gets a little crabby, like gets in a bad mood, like out of nowhere, and he'll be like, oh, my blood sugar's low. I need to eat. I'm like, okay, dude, just go eat.
No, I don't hang out.
No, not me. Well, just go eat, dude. I mean, like
women do that,
you know,
maybe.
They do. And but, this guy's a man, but he's, you know, and, you know.
Do you have diabetes?
I don't know. I don't think so.
If his blood sugar's low, he
he's
might
like,
need
my,
to get a fucking...
Sorry, guys, my blood sugar's low. I'm like, dude, just go eat.
That's Creve Coeur Racket.
I would never say that.
That's Creve Coeur Racket Club.
Right? Well, I don't think he's a member there.
So anyway, we had an awesome weekend. Man, I'm glad I played in this game. There was a lot of big dogs there, cool cats everywhere. They had 80 NHL guys show up because they kind of mixed in the NHLPA meetings in St. Louis.
Correct.
So all these guys are here, and Chaser puts this event on.
NHL,
I don't know how he did it.
NHL alumni meetings.
Alumni meeting. Yeah. My bad.
Not the PA, yeah.
The alumni meetings. Yeah. Anyway, but for him to be able to put this event on, he and a lot of other people, mm-hmm. including Bruce Affleck his team and whatever, but to put this on with so many moving parts, so many different things going on. You got country singers involved. They have to perform. People are paying a lot of money for the VIP. You got to make sure that thing's all set up. So, you know, $500 a ticket.
Yeah.
You got Garth Brooks coming in at 7 o'clock. He is about as cool as you can get. And we'll talk about him in a second. But the game was cool. I had my dad show up there. Kate and my dad were there. And I scored a goal, which is nice.
Dude, can I
it
say
was pretty
something
nice.
About the goal, though?
Yeah.
Should not have counted.
Why?
You bumped the goalie.
No,
it was goalie interference, dude.
Mm-mm.
No, that was goalie interference. Should have been reviewed. Should not have counted.
No, I was on the line with Scotty Young and Dierks Bentley. And Dierks is a sweetheart of a human being. Sweet guy. Oh, yeah. Lovely
just
human.
Just loves hockey.
God, is he terrible.
Okay. See,
no, I'm just,
I mean.
No. And I don't mean to be like that, but he's not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on a line with him, but he did okay. But there was another guy there from the band Old Dominion. Mm-hmm. He played college hockey. He was like sauce passing it around.
Dude,
like he looked pretty good.
He took a shot. This is like the last. First off, Chelios wouldn't come off the ice the whole game.
No, I know.
Like, I think he played like 35 minutes.
Yeah.
I think there were two 35-minute periods.
We were dying.
No offense. I was hoping there wasn't a third. I was just ready to get the night
You got
to
think about the fans.
They were loving it.
Fans were loving it.
Cam's goal shouldn't have counted. But at the end of the game,
yeah,
you bumped the goalie. I'm sorry. And you're in the blue paint, too. So I got to say.
No, I had a backhand. I ripped back. I got it on the Blues, actually. It was a terrible video. But they got it, and they posted it on Twitter. So if you guys want to look at the Blues Twitter account, you'll see it.
Last shift of the game, Chelios out there the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
That guy you're talking about from Old Dominion, sang a song. No, he rips a slap shot, hits Chelios in the side of the knee.
Oh, yeah.
And right in the side of the knee. Yeah. It may have hit him in the ankle. I thought it was the side of the knee. And he was just like, oh, my God.
Because
limping
slap shots,
off the ice.
Slap shots are like,
you know how old Chelios is? I mean, he's the same age as Garth Brooks. 50? He's 62.
Is he 62?
The guy sitting next to me couldn't believe that I said he was got to be in his 60s because he didn't retire until he was like 45
That's
or
right,
something.
Yeah.
Like he played till he was almost 50. He may have been 48, dude. I need some fact checkers from Saskatchewan to let me know like how old Chris Chelios was. I don't have it.
Yeah,
in
whatever.
Front of me.
That. He's
no,
old.
No.
He's old.
How old he was when he retired?
Oh, okay.
He's
62 I think he's 45
now. Yeah.
But anyway, like he was the one that was kind of standoffish. Everybody was really.
What do you
really,
mean?
He just kind of didn't talk to anybody. I tried to talk to him a little bit, and he kind of didn't have a good vibe with him. I don't know what it was. But you know who's cool is Brendan Shanahan.
Oh yeah.
I played on his line for a couple shifts too.
Did you?
Yes.
How'd that happen?
Fuck. Well, just it was chaos.
Who's
on the bench.
Deciding who goes
We're
out?
Just
with
going.
Him?
I'm okay. letting. Listen, me and Dirks, I kind of was like, hey, let the big boys go out there and play. Like,
you
I'm not,
told him that.
Well, no, but like, there's got to be some sort of order.
Yeah.
I know Joel Quenneville was behind us. He's trying to do things, but he's hanging out and talking to people. So I'm like, I just didn't want to butt in front of Jeff Courtnall, Nelson Emerson, Pierre Turgeon, Scott Mellenby, all these big dogs. I just don't want to be, oh, I'm jumping over. Let these guys get their thing.
Yeah.
And you're going to get your ice time. So I try to control the bench and make sure.
Very slow start for your team.
Yeah, it was. We started
you
getting
guys were. I mean, I just thought. And then the game just kind of slowed down a little bit, and you guys took over. Jamal Mayer is better now than he was when he played
in
the NHL. This guy's on the ice more than anybody doing skills.
Yeah.
He's practicing himself. But he used to do that all the time. He used to, like, you know, flip the puck onto his backhand blade, you know?
Yeah,
kind of like what you see from, like, the Michigan and whatever, you know? Guys do it on their forehand, whatever. He can do it on his backhand, like. He just would do it all the time. You watch him in practice when he played, and then in warmups, he would just like, you know how some guys just kind of do the same thing over and over? He would always do that. So he's on a breakaway. He literally flips the puck in one motion, like flat on his backhand, and just roofs it over Ben Scriven's shoulder. Scriven's came in. He kind of struggled a little bit. You know, he came in cold, you know, for a long intermission.
Dude, this was the best event
long
I've ever been to. I've been to so many events. And he's been on the Nashville with the big Nashville event, too. This was the coolest thing I've ever been involved in.
Mm-hmm.
It
this
really
was. Different than that.
It was totally different.
Yeah.
But you got these guys, so.
Not quite the Winter Classic stuff like that. You know, that game was probably a little
bit different. We can't. Like, we're not talking about Winter Classic professional and blues involved.
Well, they had an alumni.
No. I'm just saying as far as an event. This is an event.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was an amazing event.
It was really, really cool.
Yeah.
But then Garth Brooks, I actually felt bad for him. We're at the VIP area up there. It's so packed. There's 600 people up there. 600 people in kind of a tight quarters. Garth Brooks walks around this place and took pictures with every single person. Every single one. Every second. And people are lined up waiting to talk to him, waiting. And I am just like, whoa, like I don't want to go near him. Don't bother him.
Dude, that's how I felt.
Kate comes up to me and goes, I want a picture. I'm like, oh, God. There's so many like different people there. Like, I'm like, oh God. So I'm like, all right, I got to do this for her. She really never asked me for anything like this.
Yeah.
She's like, I want one. So we're just waiting, kind of creeping up a little bit, There's so many other people. I just don't want to butt in front of people. Like, watch out.
Yeah.
You know who I am. But I see Chaser. Chaser sees me, pushes everybody out of the way, grabs Kate, grabs me. Boom. Got a quick picture.
Really?
It was pretty cool.
You know, I was not as my wife wanted a picture with
you. You didn't do it? Oh.
Dude, I was just. You're in conversation. I, not to say, and listen, she's not like this diehard, you know, Garth Brooks fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's probably just as excited to see Dave Coulier, honestly, from Full House, you know, to talk about. And she got a picture taken with him and actually talked to him for quite a while. But, you know, there's so many people. It's almost overwhelming, man.
Big time.
You know, and you're just in conversation. I don't like standing in line for
anything,
a picture, you know, or some anything. I don't like to stand in line to go into a bar. I don't like to stand in line to go on a
anything
ride at an amusement park. I don't like standing in line. So I just was like, okay, we'll just get. I thought maybe he'd like walk by or something. And
no, it was.
So she's a little upset. I had other women coming up to me. You need to take your wife to go get a picture taken.
Pressure
with
Garth. On you, dude.
I was like, I told her, go stand in line. Text me when you get up close. Yeah. I'll come up there.
I stood next to Kate the whole time.
I know, man.
I have to do that with
and
her.
I would normally do that, but like, I just
it's
felt
all good.
Like there's so many people that want a picture. I just didn't want to.
Kate does a lot for me with
be
stuff.
In the way of everyone else trying to
I,
get a
dude,
picture.
Dude, I get
man.
You. Kate does so much for me. I just, when she looked at me, she never does this with anything we do.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, I'll do this with you. And I stood and I kind of got this, looked at Chaser, just waiting for it to cross.
Yeah.
And once he saw me, and he knows I'm fucking, you know, and he looked at Kate and he's like, okay. And he kind of pushed everybody away, got us in there, boom. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, let's get out of here for a second.
It's cool for Brendan Shanahan to come. You know, he's running an NHL team, but he's such a St. Louis legend, icon here in St. Louis, man. And
he was.
I didn't get a chance to even talk to him,
dude,
which is crazy.
Damn.
I saw pretty much every, there's a few people who I didn't get to, who I just didn't see, you know?
Yeah, but I made sure I saw everybody, but I talked, Shanny was a little standoffish at the beginning, probably a little just like, who, I don't know. But
once I tired and it's like, all right.
Dude, it's could be annoying too sometimes.
You know, you want to be there, but you want to be there to support Chaser, but
totally.
You just traveled from
I got shit to do.
Toronto.
I got important things to do. Yeah, yeah. I'm on cloud nine, high-fiving everybody, talking to every fan. I'm, you know, doing everything I need to because I enjoy, I embrace this kind of stuff. But the big, big dogs are probably like, get me the fuck out of here eventually.
Yeah.
Or let's go to the VIP area and not talk to anybody. Because fans can be annoying. Totally. I get that.
Yeah.
But I started talking to Shanny. He was so fucking down to earth. Mm-hmm. Told me stories about Lou. Told me stories about all kinds of stuff. Really cool. He even remembered a story about me. And I know it sounds corny and nerdy, but it just made me feel good. About playing against him when he just got to the Rangers. He's like, I just fucking heard about this kid. He's going to hit you. And he remembers a play where I just missed him, and I apologized. And I
were
told
you
him,
on the ice with Shanahan at the same time?
Yes.
Was that like your line matchup?
He told me this story, and then I walk away, and he's talking to somebody else, and they're talking about me. He told the same story to somebody else. I know. It's the little things, damn it.
That'll make him
I'm a
day.
Simple fucking man. I'm a simple man. Little things like that, I'm like, hell yeah, dude.
That'll make your day.
Yes. Brendan Shanahan, cool
I'm
as shit.
I'm glad he did that. George Parros there.
Awesome. God.
I mean, this guy's a monster, first off.
Such a nice guy.
I don't remember how
he's a monster.
Big that guy
he
is.
He ripped my shoulder off, dude. Now I look at him like, no wonder.
Yeah, so he typically wouldn't be there. You know, like he doesn't schedule too many events during the season when there's games going on. So he had his phone on the bench and stuff like that in case anything happened.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it was a quiet night and he was able to enjoy himself and hang out. He actually came up there on Dirk's plane.
Yeah.
They live in the same subdivision. He's neighbors with Holly, man. I was like, I gotta know what it's like living next to Holly. Saw Holly for a little bit too.
Yeah.
He was crowded. There's a lot of people surrounding him.
Did you see Twister?
I did, but I didn't see him upstairs though after.
Well, he was so wound up in the locker
room. I saw him
room.
Fall on the ice.
I was just gonna
so he was, hopefully he's okay.
He was from that so spill. I think he was scaring some people in the locker room. Because when Twister walks in, like he's like I get to like you have a lot of energy and stuff. He was on a different level.
Yeah, but you gotta be around him somewhat on a regular basis over the last several years to really know that's Twister just being Twister.
Just Twister being Twister. You got to understand it. Yeah. You just got to let him.
But if you haven't been around him in a while and you just know of Twister as like this, you know, one of the
you're like, whoa,
the toughest players and one of the true killers in the history of the game,
out.
You may be like, okay, I don't know where this guy's coming from.
His energy level will freak you out. But he was wound up, but you're right. So we have so many things going on. We're in between periods, we're taking pictures. Dierks Bentley is playing a little live show in front of the crowd. You know, in between periods, his feet must have fucking killed him after that. He's on his skates for like 3 hours straight.
A couple people, though. The Old Dominion guy sang a song.
He sang a song, too. He's cool
as hell. Who's the other guy? He used to be a player. Niehaus?
Yeah, yeah. He travels with us
like
over the place.
He's singing everywhere. This guy is like a legit singer.
He's a good hockey player, too.
Is he?
So Twister goes out there walking back to the bench between periods. And he's like, and he fucking slips and falls and goes, whoop, bam!
He's walking off the ice. Yeah.
I mean, almost hit his head.
Hard fall.
Oh, hard fall. We're like, we thought he fucking
no, he
dead.
Got up so quick.
He got
that
up,
you
like,
know
boom.
It hurt. Yeah.
We're like, dude, he just missed his head off the ice. Ooh, like, my God.
Like Steve Kozeri.
What do you mean?
The referee who got hit by Hedman.
Oh, yeah. What happened with that?
Oh, my God.
Did he go right to the hospital?
Listen, I don't want to. I think so. I think he's going to be okay.
God, dude.
I'm going to tell you this, man. I have watched thousands of NHL games.
Yeah.
Probably tens of thousands. I don't even know, Cam. I mean, how many games do you think? I mean, since
a lot, man.
I've never ever seen a referee get blown up by a player in the middle of the ice. Ever.
Well, usually the ref's not in the middle of the ice.
Usually it's along the boards, right? And sometimes the referee can't get out of the way.
Yeah.
I think we saw that with another Rooney, I think. He got hit along the wall. I don't know. I saw a video. I don't know if it was old or if it was recently, but, you know, listen, that type of stuff can happen. And, you know, officials, obviously, they don't ever expect to get hit. So when they do get hit, they don't have full control over their body in terms of being able to embrace the hit, embrace the fall. So, you know, you hope he's okay and he's going to be all right. But listen, referees, you guys got to you just got to watch where you're going, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you cannot. And he's been around for a long time. I mean, who am I to tell him where to be on the ice?
Yeah, Andy.
He's like done like multiple Stanley Cup finals. So I recognize that. But without being an expert of where referees should be, I don't think he should have been there.
Yeah, no.
You know what I'm saying?
I got to look at the play again.
Otherwise, referees are getting hit all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unless, like, he thinks he's trailing the play. I don't know, man. I mean, the size of the sheet is only so big. You got these monsters playing 5-on-5 on a ice sheet that hasn't changed the size in yeah. you know, ever, really. You know what I'm saying?
The speed is so, I mean, the power
speed is
of
so
the
fast. The power. I can't believe this doesn't happen more, but I have never seen an official... A referee get hit like that at center ice. You see them get hit by pucks. You see them get hit along the wall when they're trying to get out of the way and yep. they can't get out of the way. Never have I seen a referee get blown up at center ice like that. And I want to believe without truly knowing, although I've run it by a couple of people who know officiating at the highest level, and they have kind of suggested, yeah, it probably wasn't where he should have been.
Yeah, he probably messed that up. But I usually see refs hit players.
Hope he's okay, man.
And the players go down. Like a sack of potatoes.
Really?
That happens more than anything, in my opinion.
Like from behind, you mean?
Well, just like the player running the ref's bracing for it, the player doesn't know he's there, and he right. puts him down. Happened behind the net the other day.
You saw the Dennis Weidman one, but that was like kind of weird too. You know, it was like he kind of like hit him, pushed him from behind. Remember the referee?
Yeah.
And then he like sued like Weidman and everything. He like wanted to.
I didn't even think that was a, and like we'll talk about that again. Like I watched that a billion times, and a lot of people disagree with me, but I'm like. Mm-hmm.
No, I
think people are like, that didn't seem like
but
much.
That was a different situation because Weidman saw him there and he was probably a little, just trying to get back to the bench, kind of gave him a little
like,
bit.
Watch out.
Again, I hope he's okay, but that probably should never happen.
Probably not. No, he was in the wrong spot, dude. Get in your lane. Mm-hmm. Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
Ooh. I was waiting for Timmy Peel that had no bucket on to run into somebody and fall down.
Didn't happen. He stayed out of the, he wasn't going to get hit, you mm-hmm. know, but those type of games, I would think maybe it's yeah. possible.
Yeah, I was worried about running into people.
Who
too.
Was trying the hardest, you think?
Me?
Brownie?
Pierre Turgeon?
Turgeon is like, he plays men's league like 3 or 4
dude,
times
he was
a week.
Tenant. He was like, he was double shifting himself, and the guys were all chirping him.
Were they?
Yeah.
Like, he loves that.
Yeah.
You know, he's a former first overall pick, too, man. He'll always play. He's the guy that's going to be playing like pickup hockey when he's.
Quinville was chirping
70.
Him. Joel, who we have on this podcast, was chirping a lot of guys.
Was he?
Oh, yeah. It was hilarious.
Like funny
Jersey,
chirps.
Jersey, get off the ice. You've been out there for 2 minutes. That kind of stuff.
I love it.
Dougie
man.
Waite's chirping everybody behind the bench. Twister's yelling at everybody. Big Jim McKenzie's trying to fight me the whole time. Chaser, I was thinking about fighting, mm-hmm. but then at the very beginning, Chaser, who's going around with no bucket on, by the way, no bucket in warm-ups, cruising around, throwing his stick, patrolling the red line, like nothing's going on.
He put a bucket on for the game, though.
Totally. But yeah. I'm saying in warm-ups, like he's just showing off, yeah. like, just like, look, I'm embracing it, man. Yeah. I got no fucking hair. I used to have the thickest hair
well,
in the
I
world.
I couldn't believe that he was actually on skates.
Skating.
Because when we sat down with him a few weeks ago.
He barely can walk.
No, well, not just that, but I asked him, are you going to play? Like, he was like, no,
I can't. I knew he was for a while.
But wasn't he like, didn't I ask him that in the conversation? Wasn't he like, no, I can't.
Well, when we interviewed him, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
No, he's playing, dude. And that he might have made that decision after.
I think so.
He just went in for stage 5.
No, for the fifth treatment. Fifth and final.
Fifth and final.
Yeah.
Is that stage 5? Sorry, I don't know what that means.
No,
stage,
I know.
That could be a different meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah, fifth and final. So he did a little, nice little
chemo
treatment.
Yeah.
Chemo treatment. But anyway, so thinking about like we want to entertain, but you can only do so much. You don't want to be annoying. You don't want to be that weirdo guy out there. So there's always a balance on how to entertain the people. And I got to do what I got to do. So I'm thinking about maybe I'll fight Jim McKenzie. Maybe Adam Burrish came out to me. He's like, hey, I'll go anytime, man. Just let me know.
He's cool
he's
as shit, too.
Fucking
man.
Cool.
Yeah.
So Chaser goes up to Jim McKenzie, who was wasted, by the way. He is so fucking
during
funny.
During the game?
He is so fucking funny. Big Jimmy Mac. I love him so much. He was, what?
Let's probably take that out.
He
works for an NHL team. I'm just saying, if you want to tell him now,
it's
just the wasted part.
He was wasted.
Maybe say that after. I don't know.
That's all good.
What he wants that he plays.
Dude, he doesn't give a shit.
Okay.
He's the coolest.
Because he works for Vegas. Yeah, I'm just saying.
All right.
So this.
All right. So anyway, so Big Jimmy Mac, who's been drinking. We're all drinking before the game. Most of the guys are drinking before the game. He's getting wound up.
Mm-hmm.
The coolest guy in the world. Scary son of a bitch.
Big boy.
Like, he is so scary. And so he's always cross-checking me. We're kind of going back and forth. I'm like, maybe I'll go him. But then Chaser goes out there and goes up to Jimmy Mac and goes, you want to do it? And they square off. Chaser takes his bucket off. And I'm like, oh, boy. And even if you play fight and you kind of have a couple – like you could hit each other.
Balance,
like you lose
man.
Your balance. You hit your head. Like yeah. Chaser has no strength right now at all. Like he just doesn't. So we're like, what the fuck is he doing? And all of a sudden, here comes Lukey, his son.
His youngest son
who yeah. just got in a badass fight, still playing juniors. Goes out there, pushes his dad aside, and fights Jimmy Mack. And yeah. it was the coolest thing. And then, you know, Lukey's coming back to the bench, and Chaser goes over there and gives him a big hug and kiss on the cheek. Like, yeah. just fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, oh, boy, I'm not going to fight now because I don't want to one-up him. Like, you did your thing. So I was just kind of thinking what I was going to do. Yeah. But I scored a goal anyway, and that was good.
Shouldn't have counted.
No, it did count.
No,
it
should not have counted.
It did count.
In the crease.
It did count.
Goalie,
and if I wasn't playing with Dierks Bentley.
Who was coaching the other team?
It's a good question.
Because they should have challenged that.
Look at it on video.
Should have been a challenge.
Andy just doesn't like giving credit to ever to me. It's all good.
I was so proud of Cam, though.
I know you
and,
were.
And you know you what? Were. I didn't even notice it because, and dude, put yourself in my shoes. Like, we're having a good time during the game
yeah,
and stuff like that.
And you're
that.
Talking to people, dude. And I know everybody there.
I'm not, like, glued to the game, right?
Beautiful women.
A lot of
everywhere.
Everywhere, including our wives,
my dad,
by the way.
My dad's like, I've never seen so many beautiful.
Oh,
he's
I'm
hanging
sure.
out with my wife the whole time. Kate's looking good. Like,
oh, yeah.
everywhere you look,
yeah.
beautiful.
No,
women.
It was great. I mean, amazing.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
No, amazing,
it's no big deal.
Amazing event. But, you know, during the game, man, you're just seeing, you're just talking. I'm not like a lot. And I'm not saying the fans weren't because
the
they were. But I just didn't watch
dialed in.
A ton of the game. So I missed the ceremonial puck drop. Cam took the ceremonial puck drop with Chris Chelios.
Because Chaser goes, get out there, Cam! And I'm like, all right, that was nice.
Was Chelly,
Chaser always
was Chelly nice to you?
Not really.
Chelly wasn't nice to Cam. I love it.
Because I forgot.
And Chelly, when he came on the podcast, could not have been
I forgot what
nicer.
To do. I forgot what to
have
do.
Have you ever, be honest with me.
Oh, in Nottingham all the time.
Okay.
In Nottingham all the
but
time.
But probably not in the NHL.
No. Yet. Why would they have me
Junior,
do it?
Junior, we ever do it?
Maybe. Yeah. But I forgot. Forgot what to do.
Because normally it's just the captain, right?
Yeah. Or
there's some connection.
Of course.
To the,
but at Nottingham, I did it all the time. So I should know what to do. But Layla, who's been through cancer, who looks great now,
oh,
she knows.
She, so looked, she was the one who dropped
the puck.
Oh,
it was really cool. So Chaser's like, Jenny, go out there and do it. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Thanks, Chaser.
Yeah,
like, including
yeah.
me. I'm the like,
I
bottom
think
of the.
He said Shanny.
No, he didn't.
No, he said Shanny.
He's pointing.
He didn't say Janny.
He is literally pointing
no,
right at me.
I think he said Shanny.
Chaser does these.
No.
Chaser does these little things for me. Like, he goes out of the way to get me involved, include
yeah.
me and stuff.
I
don't know why
about,
he doesn't, but he does it, dude.
I love it, man.
And so I go out there and take the, and Chelly's like, look at the camera, dipshit. And I'm like, okay.
Because he wasn't looking at
I
the camera.
I wasn't looking at the camera. I was like shaking everybody's hand. He's like, you do that afterward. He's chirping me. And then Layla drops the puck and usually just tap it to yourself, pick it up and give
yeah.
the puck. I won it like 16 feet behind me.
Oh my God.
And so I'm
so
like,
you
oh.
showed up, Chelly.
And so I showed, well, I was supposed to win.
He's
it.
One of the greatest.
I was supposed
no,
to win.
No, but
it.
He's one
well,
of
you're
the,
not supposed to win it. That,
he's
and then
one
I,
of the greatest of all.
And
time.
They're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, damn it. So I skate all the way over there, pick up the puck, give it to Layla.
Did you ever
look like a fool? Make everybody laugh.
You don't take too many face-offs either.
I was playing center all day. Yeah, I'm right.
In your career,
no.
You did not take many face-offs. Cam thinks this.
I won that draw.
Cam thinks this game and this goal is going to be like on Hockey
just,
DB or
no,
something.
No, because
it's
my
be,
no,
that doesn't
no,
count
no, no,
as part of your career.
My dad was there, and it's probably maybe the last fucking big game he's going to ever see
That's
me
not
play.
True.
I hope. I, well, like something like
There's
that.
There's more of those.
Yeah,
although we don't have too many
town.
In St. Louis.
They're
right.
out of town, Andy.
Right.
And that, not to mention, April 5th was my mom's birthday.
Mm.
I know. So I fucking got it, and I know it's petty because it's a charity event, but that made me feel good.
Dude,
made my dad
the
feel
story's
good.
The story's getting
made my
better
fucking,
and better as it goes.
Made my wife feel good. She got frisky with me all weekend.
Did she?
I know.
Again?
Because when I play, and I do mm-hmm. pretty good,
yeah,
like it's a turn on for mm-hmm. her.
Oh, my God.
Big time.
I don't know if you should be saying
I'm
that.
Just saying.
Not on this
no,
episode.
No, I'm just saying.
This is a different episode.
Oh, God.
Today.
And then the next day, we stay up till 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm fucked up. Like, oh God. And then that night, I had to go do an auction in front of 500 people at CBC High School, Jamal Mayer's. And my brain, you know how it is. Sometimes mm-hmm. your brain's mush. And you're
yeah.
like,
eh. Oh,
I had to read
the next day.
Fucking, and the auction items were kind of mm-hmm. obscure.
Yeah.
Hard to promote, hard mm-hmm. to talk about. Like, hey, braces was one of them.
What do you
Free
mean?
Free braces?
Oh, that's a good gift.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think so.
I don't think
Did
was,
you ever have braces?
Yeah.
Did
I told
you?
A story that.
Oh, I need to see a picture.
I told you I used to piss to bed, speech impediment, and my fucking teeth had a gap this big, like Michael Strahan when I was young. I look like a goddamn fool. And I got braces, and it fixed it a little bit, but I still have a gap because I ripped them out and wasted money for
like
my parents.
Ryan O'Reilly?
I ripped them out.
Braces. You ripped them out?
I couldn't handle it anymore.
What do you mean, dude?
I ripped them. I poked them out. I remember like they all got my dad just took them off before they should have took them off. I couldn't handle them anymore.
How long did you have them on for?
Probably like
at least
six,
a year,
7 months. Yeah,
I think it's like a 2 year plan.
It's a 2 year
right?
plan. I hated it so much.
How did you? You can't take them.
No, it was my parents were so pissed at me. I just kept fucking them. They were just
cost a lot of money, dude. So like
money.
Somebody who wins free braces, that's a
yeah.
Good
so
deal.
Anyway, like the auctioneers were, but I had to read paragraph after paragraph in front of 500 people.
Yeah,
and they're all like young people dressed in nines. Like, I felt bloated.
No, that's a great event.
I was sweating my ass off. My hair looked bad. Like, I just had no confidence
in myself.
Take your
hat off because you shaved his head.
God.
I kind of like, let's get some comments here, Cam, with the
no,
shaved
hair. I'm always going to go, I'm going to go just short always, you know. Mm-hmm. But I just had no confidence, although I had a beautiful night the night before. But just, I was just like, we partied so hard. I was just like, oh, I just, but I sucked it up and it was okay. It was okay.
So the next day, and we were there at, well, after you like took off. I don't even know where you didn't. Yeah, you did.
I didn't say bye to anybody. Kate's like, we have to go.
We didn't leave. So like, I live like 20 minutes, not even 20, 15 minutes from the rink.
Yeah.
It was so late that we left. Like there's like hardly any Ubers around that it was like $80 Uber ride. I'm like, what? It was like $20 to get there. And it was like $80 to leave. It's like only a handful of guys. And they just raise the prices in the middle of the night.
They know you need it.
Yeah, we were there late. But the next day, my son was in a hockey tournament, you know, and I'm just
God.
So it was like a charity that was going on, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when I registered the team and I told the person, like, first, we were registered for like his age, like the 8U division. And like some of the other dads were like, I don't know, man. You should put us in the next division up, the 10U division.
Yeah.
Well, so I emailed the lady. I'm like, hey, can we just get in the 10U division? From a competition standpoint, it may be better for us to do the older division. They put us in the older division. First game, we're going up against kids like 4 years older, like three birth years older. I'm like, they're 2013s. My son is a 2016, but the kids, I was asking how old you are. They're like, we're like 11, like Ty's like 7 years old.
Wow.
Okay. And so the first team we played, they're all like wearing like their AAA blues spring jerseys and stuff like that. I'm like, okay.
Looking good. Like a team.
Like this is not going to go. And it didn't go well. First game.
You get fucked up.
Dude, but they competed so hard. Our kids did. You know what I mean? I was like, they played so hard and like, you know. The biggest difference was the way the other kids could shoot the puck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
stronger.
So our goalie, man, was just like nothing he could really. He wasn't like making saves. But the second game we played, we were like winning 5-2 or 4-2 with like 3 minutes to go in the game. We ended up losing 5-4. I was like, they just scored a couple goals down the stretch. It was terrible. And then we beat the third team. So like, you know, it was like pretty good, man, for playing it 4 years older in terms of age, but 3 years birth
sometimes
year,
you got to go against the older
but
guys, man.
The dads were like, Stricky, like, what did you sign us up for? Like, I thought we were going to go up against kids like 1 year older or maybe 2 years older. So
at that age, that's a big gap.
Big gap.
That's good for them. Sometimes you got to feel the strength of a kid that's 4 years older than you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Are you going to do anything for the eclipse?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Now
people are crazy about it. But my point is,
dude,
like,
my wife won't stop talking about it.
This just happened in 2017, by the way.
No, I thought it happened during COVID.
No, it was 2017. We were at the Blues golf tournament, dude. You were there too. And I remember everybody's there. The cameras are everywhere in this hole. We're like watching it. Like we have they handed out the glasses. We're like, okay, then it's over.
Oh yeah. I tried to scare my 13-year-old daughter this morning because she's like, I'm not wearing those stupid glasses. I'm like, you'll go blind, you'll never play soccer again.
Trump looked at it.
Did he?
Yeah, I remember that meme.
Do you go blind?
No.
Do you know what the
have you looked at the sun?
Dude, will you go blind?
No.
You
sure? Do it long enough.
Then why do you need those glasses?
Because you can't, if you peek at the sun, like that's the sun right there. And you peek at it, like it's going to get you. But if you sit there and stare at the sun like this, yeah, it's going to get your eyes.
Are they canceling baseball games today?
No, I don't think so.
I think they might be. I heard they might be.
I bet that they won't. Bet you they won't. It's not that long of a process.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever the moon and the sun kind of move pretty quick. So it's only like, I think 30 seconds, really. Okay. But just to build up to see it come together is kind of cool. Yeah. But it's not going to happen again. A total eclipse again. Mm-hmm. Eclipses happen like every three fucking days. They're just different kinds. You know what I mean? But the total eclipse is not going to happen until 2550, so 500 years down the road. But the cooler thing is there's a comet coming through called Devil's Comet. And if you see comets throughout the sky.
Coming through today?
No, coming in like a couple weeks. And so you'll see this thing in the sky.
What time of
day? Creep. It's awesome.
Like nighttime?
It'll take a while to get out of the
daytime or nighttime?
Both. It'll probably take a day and a half for you to see this thing trek across the horizon.
What does it look like?
Fucking badass looking. Like a comet. Like a ball of fire with a...
Like a tail, kind of?
Tail. Yeah. Awesome. That's what I like. This eclipse, I'm like, whatever. No big deal. You know what I mean?
Oh, you'll be looking today.
Yeah, I'm going to go home and check it out.
Your skies, you don't have very clear skies out there, cameras.
Yeah, right.
So you probably won't be able to see it very well.
You got too many houses around you. You got too many buildings around you.
Buildings.
Got the fucking Chinese spy balloon in my backyard. You didn't even believe me.
That never happened either. Well, it may have happened.
That's what stupid
people
say.
You couldn't see it at your house is what I'm saying.
That is an ignorant, stupid-ass thing to say.
You don't have
why? If you didn't have buildings around you, you'd be able to go out there and see the same thing, too. That thing was right over our shit, man.
Why didn't you take a video of it?
I did. I put it on fucking Twitter.
And I think everyone was like, that's not a spy balloon.
Yes, it was. It was a Chinese spy balloon that went through
Russia.
Is
there a camera in it?
Yeah, I was fucking checking it out. Checked out our military bases and our nukes.
Who's watching that at the base?
God. Xi Jinping.
Oh, my God. Who?
Who knows who else?
Golly.
One of the scariest men in the world. That's who it is.
Oh, that's Xi Jinping.
Hell yeah.
I know one Peng.
Hell yeah, Panger. It's Ping.
Oh.
Xi Jinping. Scary dude. Big time.
Give Scotty Upshaw a shout out too.
Man, he was totally cool. Great dude. For a long time. I'm getting him pumped up on the back. I go, let's go, Scotty. I fucking go. He's like, I got this. He went out there, made a badass move, set up somebody. I go, wait, Scotty.
He was like one shit. He had the beaver tail going, man. He's just clapping his stick on
the
ice.
He's trying to be with Shanahan the whole time.
Oh, I'm sure. He wanted to go buckets off.
He's trying to be with Shanahan the whole time. But I was like, come on, Scotty, get going. He went busting his ass, skating around, doing his thing. I love the competition, man. Mm-hmm. I do. It's
Brownie
fun.
Told me last night at dinner that you and him were the worst players out there.
Brownie was god awful. Brownie, don't. Hey. I love you, Brownie. Jeff Brown, by the way. He was god awful.
Hey, but I will say this.
No, no.
I told
no, Brownie, no, no, no. I know you're lying.
Well, no, I'm not.
Who's he kidding?
But I told Brownie, I said, Brownie, you were good when it mattered. That's all that matters.
Was he?
Brownie, he was sick back in the day.
Yeah, no shit. We're talking about
when it
today.
Mattered. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter today.
He said I was one of the worst.
He said you and him. I think he was joking though.
Did he score?
Cam, yours should not have counted.
Did he score?
Jamal Mayers had the best goal in the game.
Okay. He's good too. I mean, it is what it
Who
is.
Who else scored? Brendan Morrow actually looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Remember he's telling us a few weeks ago?
Yeah, he wasn't skating. He looked fucking really
Talked
good.
Talked to him for a long time. Ryan Malone.
Jesse Bullery's looked good too.
Oh, yeah.
We want to get him on.
We can't.
He said he lost. Well, I don't know if I should say this. Well,
what?
He goes, dude, I was at the casino. I go, what'd you do? He goes, whew.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I go, how much? He goes, 9 G's. I go,
yeah. Dude, he's like a financial, like a wealth advisor.
He's cool as hell.
So, and he played here for like a minute, right? Like, you know, he played for couple other teams, probably, you know, Carolina, obviously, is probably what he's most known for, the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I would
Crazy
say so.
Story. Go read his bio. You'll be like, dude, like this guy. And you would never know when you talk to him now. Yeah. He's like all buttoned up, super professional.
Big time.
But he would like get like 25 game suspensions and stuff like that. Like multiple 20 plus game suspensions.
Remember the cross check? Who did he cross check in the face?
And I just read about it. I should remember. Couple crazy ones. But I called him a few weeks ago. I'm like, dude, come on the pod. And like he works for like, you know, one of those like, you know, wealth advisor firms. I don't want to say which one, but like one that you would see commercials for all the time. He's like, dude, we got to get like major like media clearance. And I was like, well, you're not going on like CNBC. Tell them it's a freaking hockey podcast. Dude, nobody can. He's like, no, even for like, because if they say something. So a buddy of mine who's in the same industry, I was telling him, I'm like, dude, he's telling me he's got to get media clearance. Is that how it works? He's like 100%. So, because even if he says one thing, even talking about it, you know, that, I don't know, if the people don't like it could impact business and stuff like that. So,
and you know, there's a lot of interesting.
Because he would love to do it.
Yeah.
So talk to the people, his bosses. Say let him do it.
Figure it out.
Say let him
boy do it. But man, I wish we could do more of those. Mm. Like just like when we go down to Nashville for the guitars and hockey sticks,
yeah.
With Chaser puts that on with all those guys where you spilled coffee over Hordachuk.
Oh my God!
I mean,
hottest coffee.
Oh, that's obnoxious
that I've ever that's had obnoxious. In my life.
It's obnoxious.
We hit the biggest speed bump in the history.
But when of the hockey guys lots. Get together, man, we have so much fucking fun, and everybody's cool to the fans, and the fans get annoying here and there. And don't get me wrong, the big dogs kind of just get pleased. They just do their thing, but. The hockey guys are so much fun to be around. So many stories.
Yeah, but Holly comes around, man.
Holly does his thing.
He like doesn't hide from all the fans and stuff. No one really hid. I'm not saying they
No,
did,
there's a couple guys that probably didn't do much, I would say.
Yeah.
They were just like, I'm just going to sneak up, sneak back,
right.
Get on there. And that's fine.
Right.
There's enough of us to go around to entertain everybody and enough big, big dogs to do it. So it all works itself out.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't like to deal with that anymore.
I didn't.
Even for charity.
I didn't have one person tell me at the event that they weren't having a good time.
Not one.
Or like this is.
You always can have a sense of feel for all that
the
stuff.
The only thing was like the warm up. It dragged out. The game didn't start. Like, you know how like the playoff games start at like 8:30?
Yeah, there's a long.
This was like a playoff game.
My feet hurt.
That
so
started at like
bad.
9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Which is fine. They had a lot of stuff to do, man. They presented a check for $600,000 to the Siteman Cancer Center, which is incredible. But they were able to, you know, raise that money and provide a check to an incredible facility where Chaser obviously has been getting his treatments. So you had that. So it was like worthwhile to, you know, watch all the pregame festivities, the intermission, just two periods, but they were 35-minute long periods, running clock, I think, right? And so the intermission, you had Dierks play a song, Old Dominion played a song, Niehaus like played a song too.
Totally cool. Oh, speaking of country, you're Morgan Wallen. Got arrested.
So, dude,
how stupid
he threw
is he?
A chair out of a 6-story building.
Remember we were partying on Broadway, not in Nashville. Yeah. If you guys know,
I'm not
you
familiar
know.
With the bar he was at though.
Yeah, but it's 6 stories high.
Yeah.
We've been to those bars, man. Yeah. We're way up top, dude, and we're looking down. And you're
Tootsies
like, God.
Or whatever. Yeah,
and you look down, and you're like, whoa. He took one of those big chairs
and threw it.
And threw it over
could've
at 10:45.
Somebody, dude.
Killed somebody.
No, could have. He didn't, did
no,
he?
No, 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 no.
Oh.
It could have totally killed somebody. It could have killed two people. That is 6 stories high. He's fucked.
You think? Well, he's being charged with aggravated assault with a deadly
terrible.
Weapon.
Dude, he was selling
apparently
out
he
Bush
was
Stadium here, 50,000 people,
right.
2 days in a row.
Didn't he have some, like, he's had some other controversy?
He said the N-bomb.
Like some like racist
yeah,
type stuff.
He said
stuff.
The N-bomb. Yoink!
Like, so when he was, he played at Bush Stadium. You're right. I was trying to remember who he was.
Dude, 2 days in a row, sold out twice.
And
all women. There,
people were writing stories in the local paper about his past. That's kind of how I heard about it. And I was like, all right, he's kind of cool, man. He's overcome a lot of that.
Yeah,
you
I
know?
Like second chances.
He apologized. Yep. I think he went and got some, I think he went to rehab and stuff like that, I believe. And
for saying the N-bomb went to rehab?
Well, I think he just kind of, you know, sometimes
you tell he's a bad drunk.
Sometimes you get in trouble, whatever, and you're like, I have problems. So you go rehab, whatever, kind of. And
yeah, I know.
Yeah. IRC, baby.
Hell yeah.
Illinois Recovery Center. But like,
there's a couple guys that probably need that after that weekend.
Oh, yeah. So they're charging him with assault with a deadly weapon. Like, is this one of those things where you just hire a lawyer, you're a celebrity, you just get out of?
Probably.
But, dude,
probably,
if I was
Andy.
A bar owner, I would never let him back in my bar.
I know.
And that's a shame,
that's
dude.
That's a shame, dude.
And why can't you just, why do you have to act so crazy
because
when you're drinking?
You're not good, you're not a good drunk. I'm surprised he's still drinking. Mm-hmm. If I'm a happy drunk, so are you. I've always, and Andy, you know, like, I drink a lot of beer, okay? I don't really crush liquor too much besides Bloody Mary's. Mm-hmm. Mimosas, sake, wine, sometimes with. Anyway, besides all that.
Chemistric
seltzers. So I do. But I usually just sip.
But besides
beer.
All that.
Besides
it's
all that,
just
I'm good.
Pretty good.
But anyway, like when you're 30 years old and you're a really bad drunk, usually you get the wake up call way before them.
Mm.
When you know how to handle your booze, which is still not a good thing because that just shows you could drink more and handle it. And that still affects you down the line. But, like, usually when you're a bad drunk, you get fucked over when you're 23, 24, and you're like, I can't do this. People fucking hate me. When I'm drunk, no one wants to be around them. I don't care who the fuck you are. If you're embarrassing, get the fuck away from me. if you're obnoxious and weird and loud and mean, get the fuck away from
me. I'm with you, dude.
No, I'm surprised he's still drinking because you could tell he's a bad drunk. Who the I've been at my darkest low of lows or craziest. I would never think
to throw a chair.
I've done stupid things and we all know
especially
that.
Especially in your town where
are
you live,
fucking
where you're
crazy?
Like a celebrity country music.
Would that ever
icon?
Cross your mind? Now, I did break my foot after Jackman's house at home because I was being a dick.
Yes,
remember
you
that?
Kicked the kettlebell.
I kicked the fucking Jenga case for, oh God. Oh God. 2 days before Christmas, I'm hosting Christmas. My wife wanted to divorce me. That was a low point.
She was so mad.
She was so mad.
If it wasn't Christmas time, she may have.
No, it amplified being Christmas, and we're hosting, and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't walk. My foot was broken. I've never broken.
Did you have to get a boot?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because I was drunk, and I was being mean to Kate then.
Oh! Are you still like that?
No. Did you see
Kate? Was that your wake-up call?
Kate and I have a better relationship than 99% of the people.
Was that your wake-up call?
Yeah, one of them.
Well, you don't have kids.
We still I don't do anything without that woman. Really?
I know.
We do everything together.
I know.
Told you this is my birthday weekend coming up here. You want to get a party bus? You want to do this? You want to party with the boys? Da, da, da. What do you want to do, Kate? I want to go with you, Kate.
Yeah.
Get our things that we got and go rent this badass
what
cabin
kind of
out.
Things?
We're going to party a little bit, do our thing. You know what I mean?
Cam is turning 40 and he will not have a birthday.
Dude, we just
party.
Hung out with a bunch of people. I don't. Who am I going to invite?
Dude, like I have a 40th birthday party.
I just have too many days. I don't really want to. It's
very selfish.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Being selfish is having a party and forcing people to come to your party. That's selfish.
You said you were surprised that I'm a calm drinker.
I chirp Andy for a lot of things. He interrupts. He loves hearing himself talk. He wants to do this podcast by himself. I get all that.
Cam's my
coach. He doesn't listen to me whenever I call him and talk about, you know, hardcore things. I get all that. But God damn it. When we go out and party, he does not act a fool. You're never like loud. I can never tell that you're wasted. You're always happy. You know, I could tell your mind's right. I could look at your eyes and stuff like that. I could evaluate you. Never act a fool. You just do your thing. And I appreciate that. Those are the guys I hang out with. Dude, I remember hanging out with guys like Rams players or this or that. I'm like, cool, Rams player. Let me see what's up with this guy.
He's
the nicest guy in the world. And then we're going out to Harry's and we're around girls. And he's crushing. He's like, brah, brah, werewolf. And I'm like, God damn. I'm like, whoa, dude. Like, wait a minute on this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, before he got to that point, he's so cool. And I'm like, dude, we're going to Lake of the Ozarks next weekend. We got 15 people. We got all these places we're staying. Come with us. And like literally a half hour later, I'm like, holy fuck, get this psycho away from me. You know what I mean? But you're good. You're good about that. I just get a little compliment, man. I told
you
that. You're real chill.
Yeah.
You're cooler when you're wasted than you are when you're sober.
Oh, is that true?
That's not good. That's not a good thing. We're not promoting that.
Did you hang out with Joel at all?
Yeah.
Good.
Talked to me for a long time.
Yeah, he's great. We'll talk about him here in just
a
couple
he's
minutes.
A big part of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, Andy...
A couple of hockey topics I want to get into.
Can I talk about Brady Tkachuk?
Yeah, that's one of them.
16 fucking hits in a game.
So I went back, and there is somebody who tweeted all 16 hits. Now, Cam, you know this because you played in the league and you were a hitter, and I've had players complain to me over the years.
Oh,
I can't get credited for a hit.
Hits more than anything.
You know, I remember David Backus going into L.A. All of a sudden, he'd get like 8 or 9 hits. You know, Dustin Brown played there and would always lead the league in hits, but a very physical player, so it wasn't like, but I'm sure... You know, different markets have different people recording hits.
Yeah.
Some places it's probably difficult to get recorded or get credited with a
falling
hit.
Falling asleep up there.
Some places they just like, you touched them. You get a hit. I remember like Backus or Roman Polak like going into Toronto. Dude, they would get like 8, 9 hits. You know what I mean? Where if they were in another building.
They get 4.
Maybe even here in St. Louis, they may get 3. You know what I mean?
St. Louis.
So I've always had guys being like, you know when they crumble up the stats afterwards and throw in the trash? I can't even get a hit in my home building, you know?
That's the first thing everybody looks at.
It's been a while.
Sorry, but like I remember every time you get on the bus after a game, the first thing Lou Lamoriello is looking at is a fucking stat sheet.
Yeah.
He's looking at everything.
Well, hey, listen, it comes
it's
into
not everything,
play
but,
when you're negotiating contracts.
Well, no shit.
All of that, you know what I mean?
So I remember having monster hits or I'd fucking put a guy downtown Chinatown twice or 3 times and I look at that thing and they... give me one. And I'm like, oh, I kind of need that, man. That's like my thing. So I'd get a little pissy about it.
Yeah.
I would never call anybody out. I'm not going to do that. But it just would bug me.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
I put a guy fucking out. And he didn't call that a hit.
So they showed all 16 hits.
Yeah.
Now, he had some monster hits in
that
game.
Yeah, he did, man.
You know, not all of them were monsters. One or two was like, okay, fine. Give him the hit for that specific hit.
Yeah, did he stop his motion?
But in some buildings, he may not get credited with a hit on that play. But I don't see too many players in the league deliver 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 monsters like he had in that particular game. So he probably deserved the 16,
Do you know how hard that is on your body?
Dude, I thought about that, Cam.
Do you know?
Like, if I'm his coach and he's got, I mean, what does he have, 34, 35 goals, whatever it is, 34, 35 assists, somewhere in that range. I thought he was going to get north of 40. He got off to such a great start. Yeah. I thought this is the year he was just going to like really explode from a goal scoring standpoint. But the team is just, and the organization has just been, you know, they got their own situation going on there. But I will say that if I'm his coach, I'd be like, God, man, I don't know. Like, he's going after Nico Hischier after the game, too. He just hit the post right before that. So, you know, he's like raging in frustration because they're not winning.
Yeah.
And, you know, he hits the post with the, you know, clock winding down at the end of the game to tie the game. The Devils go down and the buzzer sounds. Hischier puts the puck into the net after the buzzer to end the game. You lose by a goal. Right after you almost tied it, you hit the post. And Brady Tkachuk just beelines it the length of the ice and just goes after him. You know what I mean? Wow. He just becomes unglued, man.
Yeah, I think, again, we've talked about this before. Like, I think he could tone it down a notch when it comes to that. I don't know how. Listen, when you lose, you're frustrated every damn day.
And I don't blame him on the Hischier one. But, like, every chance he gets, he doesn't hesitate. And when the rest of the team isn't playing as hard as you,
I
don't know how he just.
Well, how do you not
it?
Get mad? He's mad the whole game.
Yeah.
He's mad 80% of the time. Like, it's not. Sometimes it's good to play mad once in a while, but you need to play under control. And he's still dominating, but like he loses it really, really quick.
Mm.
But I think that's because of the losing ways that you have up in Ottawa. Of course.
And listen, this is why I hear that Brady's going to play in the World Championships for USA, which he probably wouldn't normally do. But I think this guy just wants to win. Go have fun. He just wants to win.
Yeah, I know.
So sick of losing. Lukey Cunning's going to play. Zegras is going to play. They're going to have a bunch of guys playing.
Hurt three guys in 24 hours.
Oh my God.
He fucking rocked Jake Neighbors the other day.
And then, you know, he got in the fight with Falk, and Falk didn't come back and didn't play the next game either.
And then who else did he hurt? He fucks up. I talked to his mom and dad
They're
great. So sweet. Lukey kind of giving you a shout out,
dude,
man. You're
and,
a cool
you know,
kid.
He scored again last night.
Yep.
Hit the post against St. Louis, maybe the crossbar, whatever. But he's had a rough go, man. He's had some injuries, and now you're starting to see him get healthy again.
Wearing an A.
The way his coach talks about this guy.
The leader.
Like, they're going to want to keep him. Hopefully he gets a contract extension before the Worlds. Who knows how that's going to play
out. We're rooting for him.
But this guy, former first-round pick, has had, you know, multiple knee injuries. He's missed a lot of time. And to see him get back and playing now, getting comfortable, you know, it takes time to get back. And he's on a terrible team. So mentally you're dealing with a bunch of stuff. But getting back to Brady, man, I just think it's he's got to get out of Ottawa, man. I hate
Andy,
to say it. I hate to say
out,
it. I hope they don't get mad when I say that. But I know he's the captain. I know he's an icon in that city.
It's all good.
But we're being deprived by not watching this guy play in the Stanley Cup playoffs, too. I want to see him on a winning team.
Yeah.
I hear that. Now, I don't believe he ever asked for a trade. I was told that he never asked for a trade. But I heard even from some people as recent as, you know, this past weekend, that Ottawa kind of kicked the tires a little bit. Hey, what can we get? What would we get for Brady Tkachuk?
What would you?
Dude.
What do you think, Andy?
Name your price, man.
Well, no, because it's always a price.
But it's hard to say, Cam. You're going to get multiple first-round picks for sure.
Just give me a
little. You're going to get, you know, it depends.
The people.
What does the team want? Do they want high-end prospects along with picks? Do they want
say the Blues wanted them? What would the Blues have to give up? Let's just compare it. That I'm just curious.
Well, you're
going
to have to give up
like what?
One of your top prospects,
like Snuggerud,
Dvorsky, which I don't think the Blues would part with him. Snuggerud, I don't know if they'd part with him.
But you would have to.
You've got the Swedes, you know.
Yeah.
You know the Lindstein and
the two demon
and you know, one guy's a forward.
Forward, yeah.
One's a defenseman. I mean. you know, you've got some just financially to make it work. Brady's making $8 million a year. The Blues have a couple guys making $8 million. You know, maybe you'd have to move a guy.
Like Kyrou or something.
Whatever. I don't know. I'm just asking. All I'm saying is, what you're asking is you're going to need, it's going to take a lot. And does that team, like Ottawa, are they, they've been rebuilding for forever. Don't they want established NHL players?
You got to build around somebody. Because
they're not building around Brady Tkachuk, man. So at some point, if I'm Brady, just based on his frustration that he's showing right now, he's the only one on that team that gives it every single night.
Yep. Every second, dude.
I would be like, okay, I've done everything I can do here.
And I think
you guys not supporting me or what, so I'm going to go ahead and take my talents elsewhere.
Exactly. LeBron James.
So you either help me, you either build a damn winner, and you're going to put players around me, or I'm out of here. I'm leaving.
No, it is frustrating when you're just balls out every single shift, and a lot of guys aren't on your level.
They're not on his level.
They're not even close. They're not on your level. That is so frustrating.
And you ask any other, all these other superstars around the league. Just think if these guys didn't have any complimentary pieces, if Kucherov didn't have Braden Point, if he didn't have Stamkos, if McKinnon didn't have these guys are surrounded, even his brother Matthew, surrounded.
Yes. Imagine McKinnon on a team like that, what he would do.
Oh my God. McKinnon would lose his mind.
He'd be so mean. He'd be losing his mind. Everybody's fucking off. Like he gets pissed when guys are eating. You know, like sugary foods.
Like you, McDonald's.
Like, imagine what would McKinnon do to me when he sees me?
He wouldn't put up with it.
And then go buy McDonald's after the weekend.
I would not put up with it.
My God. I had sushi Sunday, too.
Oh, that's okay.
Kate and I are like, we're fucking starving. Like, we're chilling. Like, let's go get a Sushi AI, which is like a relatively cheaper thing.
I know.
But it's in Eureka.
Yeah, they have it right by I see it right next to the Pacific Ice Rink.
Yeah, it's okay.
Do you go to that one, too?
No. I don't go out to Pacific too much.
Nothing wrong with it. I'm just asking if you eat that one.
Yeah, but so we just crush sushi all day and just watch sports. It's kind of cool. Watch shit.
Caitlin. What do you think of Bobby Ryan, what he said?
Whoa! God damn! His podcast fired him.
They did not.
Yes!
Who's his podcast?
I don't know.
Why would they fire him?
Because of that. I read that they fired Bobby. What did he do exactly?
People who do a podcast work for people?
No.
What's going on?
No.
Does he have a boss?
I don't know. He's on a podcast with two other people.
They fired him?
Dude, we got to look this up real quick.
He said something
like, I love Bobby, man, and he's been through hell and back, and we support him.
We had a great conversation.
What did he say exactly?
It was during COVID.
Can we find what he said? Just look it up real quick.
Because I want to give the exact.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically said.
What did he say?
What's with all the. You know, the big deal with the Caitlin Clark stuff because
she's entertaining.
Can anybody even like name five girls or whatever playing college basketball? So,
well, you can name five, but listen, what's that?
You could. Go ahead.
Dude. Well, I'll name you got Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
You got that Angel Reese.
Okay, good.
Okay. You got Juju something. And
you can't.
And the other hot,
know the, names.
The hot blonde one. Okay, whatever. Maybe I can't, but if you go right across the street to Schnucks and you walk around and you say, hey, name me five women college basketball players, they would be like, what?
So the Coming in Hot.
Besides Caitlin.
The Coming in Hot podcast.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
They tweeted this out. Earlier this week, Bobby Ryan made comments on social media that do not align with our show or that of our sponsors and partner, The Nation Network. As a result, we have mutually decided to part ways. Like,
well, your podcast sucks now. Just so you know,
it's a podcast. You're allowed to say what.
Yeah,
you don't
let
have
them take
to
the heat.
Agree with it.
Let them take the heat. So and just Ryan, say we don't agree with him.
Let's see. So here's what happened on Monday of this week. Ryan replied on Twitter, X, to analyst Megan Shaika. Remember her brother used to be the GM of the
Megan. I think I saw her. In
she
Calgary.
Does like analytics and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, she's on ESPN during the draft.
Cool.
Does
a good
job. Why does it seem like everyone is watching women's basketball? Shaika asked. Oh, because everyone is watching. Okay, that's a good tweet. And everyone is watching the most watched college basketball.
Well, they're watching Caitlin Clark.
But they're watching college basketball.
They're watching Caitlin Clark.
No, I know, but that's the college basketball tournament, that game.
I know, but they're watching
Caitlin Clark. There's
that's
no
it.
Doubt.
Okay.
All right. So Ryan obviously didn't buy into the take that everyone is watching women's basketball or that many are true fans. He responded with the following, challenging Shaika to name seven female basketball players. 7. Name 7 players, not 1, not 2. 5 to 7, first and last names. Go for it.
Yeah, but she could just look that up real
quick. So then she goes, why does it seem like everyone is watching? And then he says that. Then she goes, you have to watch the next games. I promise you, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese had a great first half too. I played basketball, so I do watch and like it. Mm-hmm. Paige Bueckers, Juju Watson.
Yeah, Juju.
Ashlyn Watkins. What team does Juju Watson play for?
Fuck, I don't know.
Okay, well, Paige Bueckers
played. Don't know.
I think UConn.
Oh, okay.
I believe.
Okay.
I follow the WNBA closer.
Don't waste people's
closer
time.
Closer than women's college basketball. But, you know.
Go ahead. Just finish this because we don't care what you think about WNBA. So what's the fireball offense?
Because that girl, I was just saying, Juju, like, she can go to her right, go to her left. She's good in the post.
Yeah, but what did he say to get him fired, though? There must have been something else.
So then his reply led to many furious Twitter users leaping to women's basketball's defense. And they unloaded all this criticism on the – I think even like Shaq may have gotten – I don't know.
Oh, Shaq's really pumping up. He's chirping like the men's.
He's chirping the men's, though. Like, he should get fired from TNT for chirping the men's.
Yeah.
You think?
No.
I'm joking.
But it's like, who are you kidding, Shaq?
Okay,
like,
so
– don't virtue signal.
So then, like, even like reputable hockey media, Chris Johnston was like – he got all upset. He's like, buzz off with this nonsense.
Ooh.
No, I mean, that's what he said.
Ryan, buzz off to
he
Bobby.
Said, I'm sorry this got a little further than you thought. While we use the word nonsense, are we just going to skip over your conflict of interest? Or are we going to skip over it? What does that mean?
Andy, I'm confused.
Have
homie.
A great night.
What the fuck did he say to get goddamn fired from a podcast that absolutely needs the guy?
Okay, so.
What is going on here? That was because of that?
I guess.
Wow.
I know.
That dude. I would have got fired a long time.
Year. You'll never work for them.
I'll never be able to work for them.
So I don't know. Listen, he gave his opinion. It probably I can understand why it wouldn't go over well though, right now, because everyone's celebrating Caitlin and whatever, and like what she's doing.
Yeah, she's done a good job.
I thought Dave Portnoy had a great comment because like all these other women basketball players are chirping her, and he's like, "No one even cared about you when you played. She's making money for you guys. Like, are you not even like?"
You don't get it?
You don't get it? She's making money for you. Her salaries are going to they're going to increase. You had your chance.
Yeah.
And no one even cared to watch.
No one.
Although they did, because, like, you know, Diana Taurasi, great player.
They didn't give a shit.
But she's supporting her UConn people. I get it, man. Well, UConn's not used to, like, not being on top.
Well, the one girl was giving a speech. I guess she's
Dawn Staley, by the way, the head coach, man. I thought her comments after the game, the South Carolina head coach.
Yeah, no,
what she said about Caitlin.
Yeah, totally.
She
cool.
was a great player, dude. She played with, like, Lisa Leslie and Cheryl Swoops and all those players.
But she did.
Some of those great USA
but
teams.
A lot of people are bashing Caitlin Clark. A lot of WNBA women
They're
don't
so
like
jealous
her.
Of her.
You better fucking, you need that woman. You guys are irrelevant beyond belief. The only time you peaked was when Brittany Griner was in Russia and you're chirping Caitlin Clark.
Hey.
You have men watching your sport because the women don't watch no matter what. So the men are starting to watch
That's
your sport.
That's why the numbers
now.
Are so high?
Yeah, because
well,
the
watching
men are.
Caitlin, you said.
They're watching Caitlin and you're lucky. Women don't even care about your sport. They don't. The men, you need the men.
You
and
think
finally,
she,
they men are watching and like you bash Caitlin.
Do you think it affects her status as the GOAT? Because she didn't win.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, she could play again. Somebody
she can.
Yeah, she can.
Oh, she gets that fifth year?
She can get a fifth year because of COVID.
She should come back.
And make $20 million. And she'll make more money if she comes back to Iowa. She can make 20 fucking million bucks in NIL money.
Well,
she's
going
to go to WNBA. It's not the same.
She'll make tens of millions in endorsements.
Mm-mm. I bet you
Portnoy offered her $10 million to come play.
She's lucky because Portnoy might do it. But at WNBA, she's not going to be nearly as popular as what she was in college. College is a different animal. No one cares about the WNBA. Even if she goes there, I think her popularity will stall out like you can't believe.
But Cam, for a player who played at Iowa, this isn't UConn.
No.
It's
Doesn't
not
matter.
Tennessee.
She's on the big stage.
It's not a tradition.
She's on a big stage.
What she did to bring attention to that program and to that school and everything – you don't think she can do the same at the WNBA level?
I don't.
Why?
I think the WNBA is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
I truly do.
It's summer.
No one cares. They just don't. They care about college sports, even if it's Iowa. They care about that. NIL money cares about a college team, It's a big difference. The WNBA, no one gives a fuck about.
Okay.
So it's unfortunate, but whatever.
A couple things before we get to Joel. The Penguins continue to win.
Yeah.
As much as I love it, and I hope they get in, because the Eastern Conference is terrible outside of the heavies.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay is a team I wouldn't want to face, because they just kind of like do their thing. And then when it's time to like flip the switch, they can do that. But like all these teams trying to get in, Detroit, Islanders.
It's interesting.
Philly. Washington. Philly just falling out. I love you, Torts, but like—
I love Torts, too.
It was just a little much. The whole season was just always about Torts, and I love Philly, I love Torts.
Philly,
but they've got no goaltending, so—
The Philly people like to be talked about no matter what.
No problem. And listen, I love Torts, but for me, like if I was a GM or an owner, I'd be like, ah, okay, it's a little much at times.
Calm down. Just go win. And you're not winning.
Let's not make it always about— it's like hopefully maybe they talk about our players eventually. Like maybe they'll talk about a player sometime.
You know who one of my favorite players is? Who do you think?
Well, which conference?
Oh, I'm sorry. Philly. Plays for Philly.
Well, Konechny.
You're damn right.
Plays hard too.
He's damn good.
I love Konechny.
I like him so much.
But you never hear about him, do you?
Not really.
Because, you know, you hear only about one
Torts.
Guy. Never about the players.
You hear about Torts.
So Washington, none of these teams are that good. But it's an interesting race down the stretch. I know, listen, nobody loves Crosby. I love Crosby.
Nobody loves Crosby.
As much as I do. I'm saying, like, I
bet they do.
No, I'm just saying, I love Crosby.
Andy loves Crosby more than anybody.
That's not what I'm saying. But, like, I love Crosby. For this guy to get to 40 goals at 36 is an amazing, and he's got so much more to go. Who knows what his numbers are going to look like?
Every 3 years he hits 40?
Every seven.
Or every 7 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Third time in his career.
Yeah, okay. That's what it was. My bad.
He's going to average over a point per game now at least a point per game for 19 seasons.
Yep. Ovi's hitting Gretzky. It too. Ovi's scoring some goals. Got 851.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So
shout out to him.
I know what Crosby has done has been incredible for Pittsburgh to put them back into the situation. Yeah. People thought they were just dead in the water.
Dunzo. Yep.
And look at the teams they're beating right now. They beat the Rangers. I think they beat Carolina. They beat Tampa Bay. They've beaten some like really good teams here in regulation, too. So I give them all the credit in the world how they're doing it. Crosby's been on fire. Malkin's playing some great hockey right now. You know, they brought that Michael Bunting over from Carolina, and they're playing him with Malkin. Like, he's given him, like, a winger who can be a driver, too, plays with a lot of passion. He's helped Malkin. You got Rust playing with Crosby. Crosby's been on an absolute tear. But with all that being said and done, he does not belong in the Hart Trophy conversation. So I know people are saying, well, they should put him in the Hart.
A lot of people are saying that.
You can't. What he's done is it's still not as impressive as just because they were so fucking bad for so long that they had to come from behind and like make up all this ground. Nedeljkovic, the goaltender, I mean, he's the guy who's getting all the wins for them, but you're going to put him above McDavid, Kucherov, McKinnon, Austin Matthews, even Panarin.
Nah.
Not happening.
That's okay.
So he's had a great.
And Crosby doesn't give a shit either.
Roman Josi, what he's done is probably even more impressive than what Crosby's done.
Crosby doesn't give a shit.
Penguins should have never been in that situation to begin with.
No. You know,
based on how much money they spent, all these guys, all these like future Hall of Famers, like, come on.
They're getting older, though, but I want them to be in. You want Crosby to be in the mix for sure.
Okay.
You do.
And the Flyers, we talked about that.
So
Joel Quenneville on this edition
of
the Camastrick podcast.
We usually do podcasts together. This is a different animal. Joel hasn't done anything. He hasn't talked to anybody for a long, long time. And Andy's been working on this for quite a while. And this isn't your typical, hey, what happened in 2010? Oh, Kane and Taze are great. No. This is about step by step about exactly what happened. Andy's been working on this for years. And so Andy did this interview by himself. And we wanted to get this out as quick as we could to kind of share Joel's story. And I listened to this yesterday in my car, and I was so fucking intrigued. And I chirp Andy for everything, and we love chirping. How many times people come up to me during that whole event that we had and said, God, I love your podcast. I love when you chirp Andy. Yeah, that's a big theme. I chirp Andy. Andy did a goddamn good job with this, man. And so he had to do it by himself, man. There's no way I need to be in here. So it was really cool. You did a good job. Very interesting. And I hope people understand what he had to say.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Well, I'll be curious to hear the response from people. I mean, we all know how it. I don't think his objective is to try to convince anybody who feels one way or another. It's just for him to tell his story.
Tell a story.
This is what I knew.
And he needed to do that.
And this is the first time that he spoke publicly about the scandal.
Yeah.
The Chicago Blackhawks scandal involving Kyle Beach. He had never spoken publicly about this. I think he did like an interview talking about hockey and stuff like that recently. But he has never
spoken publicly about
the Chicago Blackhawks scandal. So this is the first time you're ever going to hear it. And I think people are going to appreciate what he has to say and appreciate the fact that he is coming forward and he is speaking for the first time.
And no one came up to Andy beforehand and said, this is what we need to talk about. This is what they, no, Andy had all his questions lined up. They didn't go over it with Joel or his team or anything like that. This is just,
I didn't have questions in front of me though and stuff like that.
No. But no one told you.
Yeah. There was no like agent or a lawyer said, exactly. Hey, we need to approve the questions you need to.
I was thinking of all the questions that I was thinking that you were going to ask and you did. I was really intrigued. You guys are gonna like this, man.
You listened to it once or twice?
Twice.
So did you hear anything different? Like the second, you don't have to get into specifics, but
no, it was that interesting.
Was the interview more interesting, or did the second time?
The first time
you're like, okay, what's he gonna, you know?
And so I'm like, now I kind of understand. I just want to hear what he said again. But you did. You asked every single question that
I'm sure. He got a nice reception from the fans here in St. Louis, too.
Yeah, he did. Oh, they said Joel Quenneville, he was on the bench. Everybody went crazy.
Yeah.
He did.
So
maybe we'll see what happens.
You know, he's met with the league several times. He's waiting to be reinstated. He has not been given permission. There's been multiple teams that have reached out.
It's pretty cool, though.
Some in a roundabout way.
So Joel could have done anything he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Think about this. Joel Quenneville, the best coaches in hockey history.
Second most wins.
He's one of the best coaches in hockey history.
Yeah.
And he went through such a jam. And now he wants to speak. So this is going to be a good one. You guys going to like this?
Yeah. So let's get to it, because I know people are going to hear it. As always, Cam and Strick podcast brought to you by First Form.
Hell yeah.
Firstform.com/Cam and Strick.
Fucking saw Nikki Boley.
Oh yeah, Nikki was having fun.
And his lovely wife.
Yeah.
And a couple other people from First Form there too.
Yeah, I think so.
Totally cool. Yeah. First Form was everywhere.
Oh, I met there's a... girl she was with.
I forgot. Lovely.
Awesome.
Loveliness.
I think we met her when we went out there, too.
Loveliness. Yeah. Beautiful. Everybody's cool as hell over there at First Form. First Form was everywhere. Like, fuck, they give us bags. First Form was decked out all throughout the fucking rink. It was cool. Some kid came out to me with a First Form beef stick. He wanted me to sign the First Form
beef stick.
Yeah.
Did you sign it?
Yeah. I go, but I don't want to sign that for you. Because I go, listen, kid. He's like a 12-year-old.
You need that
You just
protein.
Got done skating. I go, you need to eat this.
Do you know how many?
It's 20 grams of protein.
I have to apologize for Cam all the time because there are kids that tell me all the time, hey, I listen to your podcast at the rink. And their dads are there. I'm like, is your dad present when you're listening?
He's like, come up to me and say, I listen. I go, like, really?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah.
The women love it.
I'm telling you.
And they tend to reach out to me.
When I chirp you. I don't know. You know? It's really weird. It's good.
They tend to reach out to me.
It's all good.
Quite often.
A lot of women came up to me.
But the kids, they love it too.
Listen, I'm not catering to kids, just so all y'all know. So like, you know, if you have an 8-year-old in the fucking car, like I can't just be like, I got to think about the 8-year-old. No. Like,
what's the age requirement? Minimum age to listen to the podcast.
14.
You changed it several times.
What did I say last time?
You said 13, 12, 13.
It's 12. It's 12. They can handle a cuss word at 12.
Mm-hmm.
I was cussing at 12 in front of my parents. But I'm a hillbilly in the 90s from Eureka. Like, that's different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cam and Strick, firstform.com/Cam and Strick. You know the drill. All the fruits, the greens, the proteins, the apparel, the bars, the energy drinks. Go to First Form.
Go to First Form.
And go there today.
/Cam and Strick, by the way.
Firstform.com/Cam and Strick. Great to see you, Nikki boy.
Love you guys.
And your wife, man. Christy, great people. He waited for us until our Uber came, by the way.
Oh, he did.
He wouldn't like leave.
He wasn't drinking either.
No, he was like, do you want me to take you home? I kind of did, Nick. I wanted you just to say, just get in my car, I'm taking you, because I didn't want to spend the $80, you know, with like.
Where does he live?
But I was like, out of his way.
Dude, jeez, don't be a scavenger, Andy.
So I was like, dude, it's so out of your way. No way.
Don't do that to him.
But you know when you're with like drunk women in the car, it's like.
Oh, your wife.
She wasn't like out of control, though.
Nah, she was.
But she was having. It was her birthday at midnight too. Yeah. And she's just kind of. Women love their birthdays.
That was hilarious.
Women love their birthdays, and she had fun with Kate.
She had great
Christine,
time.
And like so many other people.
There's so many people that the girls. You know? That was a party for the girls.
Whenever
too.
We're in that environment, it's just going to be hilarious. A fun night, man. And it's funny. So we had a great time.
We had a great time.
Illinois Recovery Center, baby.
Yeah.
IRC.
IRC right there in Swansea, Illinois, helping people every single day. Chrissy Pondoff, Eric Connolly doing damn good work over there. They both have been through a ton of stuff. They're not just like, oh, I don't know what's going on, but here, we're gonna start this whole thing up. They've been through hell and back. They know exactly what you're going through. And there's so many different variables what you go through, too. Could be booze, could be this, could be that, could be all kinds of things. There's a bed, comfortable bed, might I add, waiting for you at the IRC. Check it out. Mm-hmm. They'll talk to you about all the insurance stuff and all you that. It's it. Easier than you think.
Don't
man.
Allow that to
don't
like.
Don't ever allow that.
Impact. Keep no. you from contacting
exactly.
Nikki or Eric or Chrissy or Eris.
They Eric. Will help you one way or the other.
Yeah.
It's the IRC, Illinois Recovery Center. Check it out. Go to IllinoisRecoveryCenter.com. Look at all the information. If you want to message me about anything, questions or whatever, if you want to message Chrissy Pondoff, he'll answer your call. He'll answer your call.
Message
Eric
me.
Conley too.
No, you can message me.
You can message Andy. Talk to Andy about stuff. He'll help you. But they will help you. And we've been there. I've been there multiple times. I'm going to get back out there, by the way, and talk to the patients.
Okay,
I love doing that.
Yeah, I know.
I love doing that.
800-743-0971. That's the phone number.
Yep.
800-743-0971.
Call them up. Text me.
What's the phone number?
What's that?
What's the phone number again?
IllinoisRecoveryCenter.com. That's all you need to know. IllinoisRecoveryCenter.com.
800-743-0971, baby.
0971.
0971.
There you go.
And again, if you're like driving, you can't write down the number, just reach out to us. We'll get
you. You just type in Illinois Recovery Center, it'll, Google, the pops phone right up, dude. Like it is what it is. Or follow me or follow Chrissy Pondoff on Instagram.
Yeah. Every brand, every hat has a tells a story.
Cam. Yes, it does.
Did you know that? Hat Launch will tell you that. HatLaunch.com, man. America's number one source for customized hats.
Next time we do a big event like this, we should get Hat Launch.
Oh,
like,
dude, we should have had them make some.
Yeah, I know.
NHL alumni.
This all happened pretty quick. It did. And like to have Chaser's got so many things going on for us to be like, hey, can you, should we,
yeah,
but like,
I know.
You can't, we can't do
can't
that.
Do that.
We can't do that yet. But we'll, me and Andy are going to have a couple things coming up here too, just so all y'all know.
All y'all.
Especially all y'all in St. Louis.
All y'all. No, anywhere.
Yeah, but we're going to do
everyone's invited.
Of course, but like, I'm just saying, like the event's probably be in St. Louis.
Yeah, okay.
You know, whether it's a golf tournament or it's a hockey camp or whatever.
PLZ was there, by the way, also. I had a great time with PLZ, man. Love PLZ.
Have such a good time with him.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny.
It's always fun.
It's so funny. He had no fucking helmet on.
Why would he? People kept saying that, but why? If I was him, I wouldn't wear a helmet either. Why would he wear a helmet?
Because I thought he was going to toe pick and fall right into the boards. And this,
he's just kind of like cruising around.
He
called one penalty.
Yeah.
Who got the penalty shot? Dirks Bentley, I think.
Dirks Bentley at the end. He scored on.
Oh, but he scored on Ben Scrivens.
He scored.
Scrivens, man. Yeah. He's a great guy, too.
No, he did that on purpose.
Oh, he let him score?
Yeah.
Oh.
He asked Dirks, because he knew Dirks was going to have to do something, probably, because you want to pump Dirks up.
Well, he's coming out of it. He's going there, although he loves
it. So Dirks Dirks Bentley goes, hey, what's your breakaway move? And Dirks goes, dude, I was going to come on my forehand, and I'm going to go five hole. He's like, okay. So Scrivens, you say?
Ben Scrivens, I believe. Scrivens. Yeah. Former Maple Leafs, you know.
Nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
All the guys were so fucking cool. Besides, Chelly was kind of a dick. No big deal. But he came in and did exactly what it was supposed to do. Really slow, might I add. It's all over the internet. You can check it out. And Scriven's like, I just lifted my stick up. He goes, Cam, I talked to him afterwards. He goes, I was praying I was not going
to
stop this.
Okay. Well,
think about being a goalie.
Yeah.
And you got the big boy.
Yeah.
Who's not very good. Can't just shoot the puck.
No, you have to let him score. And he's a celebrity.
And so he's like, I knew what he was going to do. So right at the end, I just lifted my stick and it went right through.
Well,
so it didn't look obvious.
I know. So
it was really cool.
That's good.
It's tough on
a
goalie.
That's a smart move by Scrivens. Because he didn't like make it look like he 100% just let him score.
He
kind of made it look like the guy scored on him.
Exactly.
Which is good on
you.
He
did a good job.
Ben Scrivens.
He did a good job.
HatLaunch.com, though. Check out their website. If you run a men's league team, if you have a school, if you have a baseball team, if you have a business, if you
hockey camp
need all your workers at a restaurant to wear hats, whatever you need,
whatever
customized hats. Every hat tells a story, man. If you just want to get a hat for you and your like family reunion, bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, whatever it is, these guys are the absolute best. Say hi to a Danny and Jordan, brother.
Danny Jordan, what's going on, guys? Love you guys.
No,
real
like,
deal.
Say it like you mean it. But like
I did mean it.
Okay. Because they are the best.
They are the best.
HatLaunch.com. HatLaunch. Give him a thumbs up.
There you go, guys. What's up, baby?
Bellman and Bellman.com. Cam at Bellman, you get no.
Swinging dicks.
Now, what does that mean?
A lot of swinging dicks in that locker room, though. My God almighty.
Were there a lot of... See, we didn't go down there. We were going to go down there. The locker room
was so fucking packed, and we got the best locker room in the league, man, the alumni room. And, like, afterwards, you just get done playing, like, you're sweating so bad. And there's so many people everywhere. I couldn't
stop. Like, in the shower and stuff?
Like, yeah, like, this. Everything's people everywhere.
It's hot.
Soaked. Like, I get out of the shower, I'm like, ah, trying to cool down. Mm-hmm. Like, you're already jacked up anyway, and I'm putting I'm just soaked. I was sweating for an hour after the game.
Okay.
You know, couldn't stop.
Yeah.
Swinging dicks. There were swinging dicks in the alumni room, but not at Bellman.
Buick GMC on one side of the street. On the other side, Cam, it's a Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Yeah, you got options, and they'll take care of you. They don't care about your credit score.
Yeah.
They'll take care of you. They know you need a new vehicle.
Yes.
They're going to take care of you. And it's not going to be some dink ball swinging his dick around, creeping out your wife. Because that happens at some of these places.
No, they'll take
not at Bellman.
They will. Best customer service. Everybody gets approved, no matter how bad your credit score is.
You'll get approved big time.
So go to Bellman and go to Bellman today. They got a Danny boy.
Danny, what up, homie?
And Kenny?
Kenny.
And Dale?
Dale. What's up, Dale?
Joel Quenneville speaks for the first time publicly.
Publicly.
And second all time in the history of the NHL in wins.
Cool cat.
Certainly an icon, really, in every market he's ever coached.
There's not one person that I met of all the people that we've interviewed that know Joel, that's played for Joel, that said one.
I always ask about Joel, not knowing what they're going to say, and everyone's just like. But again, this is the first time he speaks. I think people will enjoy listening to this. Joel Quenneville.
There you go.
Next.
Hell yeah.
On the Cam and Strick Podcast. The Cam and Strick Podcast is brought to you by First Form, baby. Use our link and do it today. www.firstform.com/Cam and Strick.
Get jacked now. They are the real deal.
Get that protein. Check out the apparel. Eat those bars. And drink those energy drinks. Firstform.com/Cam and Strick.
Yeah.
Now on to the interview. Joel Quenneville, good to see you.
Good to see you, Andy.
How you been?
Not bad. You know, down in Florida and enjoying the nice weather.
What have you been doing over the course of the last couple of years?
I've been, living down in Florida. Been playing a lot of pickleball. It seems like the craze has gone over the top, and I'm in the middle of it all, enjoying it every day, and... you know, we got a lot of friends down there. We, play a little golf, play some tennis, ride my bike. We got a nice group that we watch a lot of hockey games. We're definitely in tune to what's going on around the game, and pretty interesting year as it is. We're going down to the wire here. It's very exciting, very interesting. I did some work over the last few years trying to educate myself a little bit on what's gone on here in my situation, learn how I should have handled the situation better, and met some great people along the way through that process as well.
So you're watching hockey.
Yeah.
Right? Nothing's changed from that standpoint?
No. I don't watch it as a coach. I just watch it like I get entertained here. I'm looking for guys. I'm looking for pace. I'm looking for some good entertainment the last couple nights with the little 2 seconds into it, the Jersey Ranger game. That was interesting. And I'm watching it for the pace and, you know, the talent and skill, and watching more the players than I am watching technically how they're playing.
Yeah, almost 3 years since you've been in the National Hockey League. Had you ever taken that long of a break away from the game of hockey, even going back to your playing days?
No, not even close. And then the prior 3 years, or prior to those years, there was a couple years with COVID. There was two years there. I lost a job in Chicago for a year. So I've been away for the game for quite a bit here, and it's still watch it, and still talk to a lot of coaches, a lot of people in there and around the game that are friends that we communicate with, and certain teams you root for a little more. But this year is a lot at stake.
A lot of coaches have gotten fired this year. Hey, you don't ever like to see coaches get fired, but when it does happen, does part of you think, okay, well, maybe this is an opportunity. Maybe they're going to call, and maybe I can find my way back into the league.
I was, you know, over the course of the time there, you know, whether it was the first year, second year, or now, it's all, you know, you're always, you know, looking at opportunities, but I'm waiting for a clearance to get that chance to get back and coach. I know that there's people that will ask you how you know, is there interest, or you thinking, what are the possibilities of coming here, and are you interested? But there's a process too that, you know, before you can go, we can go to the next step. You know, we're still not, we're not there yet.
So teams have called.
There's ways of finding out to your interest level.
Did you have mutual interest?
There's some places I would have loved to have gone.
So when that happens, what's the next step? What do you do? Do you call the commissioner's office and do you say, hey, am I allowed to entertain this job? Or is that more on the team? Is that their job to call and find out if they're even able to hire you?
Not for sure exactly how it plays out, but I think that they're more likely somebody within their organization to reach out to the commissioner.
When you first resigned, were you forced to resign, or did you say, hey, listen, it's the best thing for the Florida Panthers and everybody involved if I step away?
Well, it all happened so fast. To be quite honest, you know, I didn't think I was going to miss one game. That was the first day after that coach the last game. And I was on the plane going to see Gary. Mm-hmm. And going in to see Mr. Bettman there. On the way there, it was the first day I read the report. It was in the summer of 21 where I heard anything about sexual abuse and sexual assault. And then the day before, that last game I coached, Kyle come out and said that he had been assaulted. And it was... where I read the details was on the plane up to New York that day. And I'm sitting there reading it, and I'm sitting there, and it was the first time I heard anything about it. And it was very sick. It made me sick to my stomach when I read how our video coach assaulted one of the players. And then, I was equally more disturbed when I read that he used the power of the coaching office to influence the player. So that was on my way there, and so when it happened quickly, I think that leaving the Mr. Bettman's office that day, we came to a understanding that it would be best for me to step away, and that's but I didn't anticipate would be gone this long.
That's the first you heard of sexual assault involving one of your players. You had never heard about a sexual assault prior to that.
No, I didn't know the player. I didn't. The day before was when I found out who the player was, but this is more about the abuse of a player than it is about me. And I think that that's we don't want to get confused on what he had to go through.
How'd you find out about the lawsuit when Kyle Beach filed the lawsuit suing the Chicago Blackhawks? Who called you and told you about that?
Don't know how he found out. I mean, I don't know. Might have read it, or somebody might have called me. Blackhawks might have called me.
So when you're on the bench, your last game, Florida Panthers, they improved to 7-0 to start the season. You guys play the Boston Bruins, and you win 4-1. You're not thinking in the third period, this could be my last game coaching, at least for this season?
No chance that I think that was my last game that I think of that ever crossed my mind.
So you go to New York, and I imagine you fly with Florida Panthers executives. What are they saying? Are you having any discussion about your future with Florida even prior to meeting with Gary?
I don't want to get in exactly how that whole day played out. There's a lot of this, and that all happened all in a short amount of time. And whether it's different discussions or things but I'll keep those conversations private.
What about the conversation with Gary in his office? Who's there for that meeting?
That meeting that day, there was probably 5-6 people in the meeting.
And how long were you into the meeting when you realized, okay, this is not going the way that I had hoped or the way that you expected?
I didn't know exactly how it was going to play out. You know, I think I wasn't in there the whole time. I think I left the room and they were they talked, but I think that was, I don't know.
Were the Florida Panthers, were they supportive?
I got it. Mr. Vinny Viola has been great. You know, he's been supportive.
You get paid the rest of your contract? You had a couple years left, right?
I'm not, I can't talk about that.
When you're on the bench, the Kyle Beach interview on TSN, it aired an hour before the game, I believe. Did you see any of the interview? Were you aware the interview was taking place?
I heard that it took place right before, I think, our team meeting. And I saw it after the game, but I heard about something like that happening.
Have you talked to Kyle?
Yes, I have.
What'd you tell him?
I reached out immediately once I heard the story of trying to say hello to him and talk to him. And it took time for him to be comfortable with the conversation.
You apologize.
And I'm not, I don't want to discuss our conversation, but I think that's between us.
Who let Kyle Beach down, you think?
I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not blaming anybody. I blame myself for some things I could have and should have done differently.
What should you have done differently?
Well, I think that given a little background to what when I first went into the meeting after the game, you know, it's shortly after, you know, and I found out in a short amount of time that what happened. They asked me, did I know anything about a video coach hanging around the Rockford players? And that's, I didn't know anything about it. And then they told me that he was hanging around the Rockford players. He was socializing. They're going out to bars. And he might have sent an inappropriate text or two. And that he was bugging them. And that was a, you know, that's all I knew. I didn't put it all together that resembled sexual abuse or sexual assault. And by not asking more questions, and I take ownership on that, I think that had I known more, I think I would have handled it completely different.
So sexual assault, that wasn't discussed in the meeting? They weren't saying, hey, this player has come forward and he's made an allegation of being sexual assaulted by your video coach?
No.
So this is in May of 2010. And you just win the Western Conference final, right? Arguably your biggest win in the history of your coaching career.
For sure it was.
Yeah. So you're
I don't know about for sure, but that was, you know, we did.
You're going to the Stanley Cup final.
I know, but we won the cup in 96. So.
As an assistant.
Yeah. Right? Okay. But I still think I count them the same.
Yeah. No doubt. So you're in that meeting. So the game just ends. And I know some of your players have told me that you had a policy where you didn't have meetings with players after games. Is that right?
I think when I was here in St. Louis, my first working with Roger and Jimmy, Roger, first thing he taught me is you never have meetings with the players in the locker room after games. And for all
Roger
the right
Nielsen,
reasons,
right?
Roger Nielsen, yeah, right, and Jimmy Roberts. So it was like, you know, the emotions are so high, you know, and I think that and I'm an emotional guy. And so there's nothing productive coming of it. And I think that that's why I have a rule that I don't go into the locker room after games.
So who tells you that John McDonough, the president of the Blackhawks, you got Stan Bowman in there and you can fill us in with whoever else was in the meeting. Who comes and grabs you and says, hey, they want to see you upstairs?
I don't know if I got I don't know how that process, who was either the messenger or a phone call or somebody came and tapped me and go upstairs or they want to see upstairs or go visit upstairs. I don't remember that process.
What were you thinking the meeting was going to be about?
No clue. Could have gone anywhere. I mean, we could be thinking about preparing for what are we going to do for the going into the next round? How do we want to go day by day? Might've been a scheduling thing. Mm-hmm. It might've been this or that, but I had no idea what it was going to be about.
And where'd that meeting take place?
I think it was upstairs. I don't know if it was in the president's office or upstairs office. I don't remember.
And so who did the talking? Who ran the meeting?
Well, I walked into a meeting that was ongoing, so I don't know exactly who was running it. I just know what I learned when I was in there, and it was brief. And I don't know who was doing. I don't know.
How long were you in the meeting? You
five,
think?
5 minutes.
Maybe 5 minutes?
Ten minutes.
And what'd you learn in the meeting?
What I learned was that Brad, video coach, was hanging around the Rockford players, was socializing with them, sending inappropriate texts, going to bars, and basically the guys are being bothered by it. And I don't think there was anything resolved in that meeting. I left the meeting with an understanding that they got it, and that's how it was left.
Apparently, there was a prior meeting too when you were playing in a previous series against San Jose. Were you in that meeting when you were playing the Sharks as well in San Jose, or no?
No, I knew nothing about that meeting ever.
So this was the first time you were ever in the meeting.
First time I ever heard about anything about this
and
matter.
Did you talk?
And the last time I ever heard about the matter.
Never had a follow up meeting about it.
Never. I blame myself for not pursuing that further.
What should you have done?
I should ask more questions. I should have, you know, pushed them to find out more the seriousness of the matter.
Did
not
you ever,
doing nothing about it was, you know, it's that's on me. I own it.
Did you consider getting rid of Brad right then and there? Like, were you comfortable working alongside with him on your staff, knowing what he was being accused of doing, even if it was just sending inappropriate text messages and hanging out at bars with your players?
Had I known what I found out when I read that article, it made me sick. I would have had no problem getting rid of Brad. We'd have had no problem getting rid of Brad, and it wouldn't have made a difference one way or the other what was going to happen in the next series. You know, you miss players all the time, and, you know, but it was unacceptable.
Video coach, he's replaceable, right?
Absolutely. Where the players are replaceable, we're mm-hmm. replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, you know, that was in the spur of the moment. I would have had no problem with that.
What was his responsibility as a video coach? What did he
video
do?
Video coach is, you know, they get the team. Sometimes they can do some individual clips for guys. They get the coaches what they need for their meetings. They give you highlights in between periods and you, you know, some statistics that you're looking for. You know, everybody's got a different level of authority in different teams and different organizations. I didn't hire Brad, but Brad was there when I got there. And, you know, he did his job.
So you didn't say, hey, Brad, quit hanging out with the players. And what are you doing? You had no conversation with him about that.
No. And I think that's my fault because, you know, I think that just to give you a little background, the culture around the organization, you know, I think there was, I think people knew that the organization had, you know, I'm going to say there's almost like a big divide. I think people, whether they're in the organization, around the organization, maybe even people around the league,
mm-hmm.
knowing that, you know, there was upper management, there was hockey management, and then their coaches. I think a lot of people felt the atmosphere around there. There's a big divide. And for whatever the reasons were or are, you know, I think you, my situation was I had a pretty good idea that I knew what I had to do. I knew what my job was, and that was to stay in my own lane and do my job as a coach. And I think that what I had heard in that meeting didn't qualify. And knowing that had I known a different thing, I knew that my lane, I know when it would have been time to cross it. But these guys, and I'm not blaming anybody, but I mean, the upper management, you know, I had a name for them. I called them the firm, not in a derogatory way at all, but just that the way they did business. It was just a matter of fact, you know, a legal business like law firm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically where it was, where you knew your job, you knew your job description, you knew your role, you knew to stay in your lane, and you knew who the boss or the bosses were.
Did you watch the interview that Kyle Beach did?
I think, yeah, I watched it probably right at that, after the game that night.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he said in the meeting that there's no way you could not have known. Like, what's your response when he says that?
Well, I didn't know. I'll stick with that.
When you're in the meeting upstairs, do you feel like others in the room knew more than you did?
Well, I think that walking into that meeting, I'm sure there was other things being discussed prior to that, so they obviously knew more than what I was being told. I don't know if they were rehashing what had already been said, but you know, I think that I could have been, but I'm going to say I'm sure there was more.
So what'd they tell you? Like you leave the meeting. What are you thinking at that time? Are they saying, hey, you just focus on coaching. We're going to handle it. We'll take care of it. Like what are they saying? And specifically John McDonough, I would imagine he's the most senior leader in that room. What is he saying specifically?
I believe that it was just left that it was in their hands and they were going to handle it. And there's no way that I was even thinking of, you know, I don't think I said much in that meeting at all because I was more of a listener.
So from that meeting moving forward, you don't learn more details about his involvement with the player until you read that Jenner and Block report?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was the first time I heard anything about sexual assault, sexual abuse, and on my way to the commissioner's office. First time I read anything about sexual abuse and sexual assault. But I blame myself in that meeting mm-hmm. that I didn't push the envelope to find out to the level of seriousness, you know, whether it was, you know, I wasn't informed that, you know, what had took place.
Even you made some statements, even when you were head coach of Florida, saying you weren't aware of any sexual assault, but you were still coaching the Blackhawks when Brad Aldridge got fired. Did you ask why he got fired? What led you to believe that he got fired? No one said anything about sexual assault then?
And nobody said he got fired either. I think that it was a mutual agreement. Brad said he left the organization. I got a phone call one day and they told me that's what happened. But I, again, same as the other, not following up the original meeting and not following up the following days mm-hmm. and not following up with Brad, that I just think that I blame myself that's on me. I take ownership on that. And I was trying to think that I was staying in my lane and doing the right thing.
Looking back on it, being around Brad, did this fall into his character? Were you shocked to hear that he was involved, or could you see this happening with him? Maybe it didn't surprise you.
No chance that I see this happening at all. Not at all. I couldn't imagine it. Couldn't imagine either one of the things happening.
Mm-hmm. The internal evaluation. Some people have labeled it a letter of recommendation because he went on and he got other jobs in hockey. I think he was given the option by the organization, too, to have an investigation, which he just chose to resign instead of having them investigate the actual matter, right? So, therefore, there was no formal investigation in terms of his firing. He just essentially resigned. But when you wrote this internal evaluation, what did you know then and what did you say in the evaluation?
Well, I think what you're asking about is basically a false perception of each department head does an annual review of people in his areas, and I had the responsibility of doing the coaches and the trainers and maybe one or two others. And that year, I can recall, and it's just for internal, for the HR and the management, mm-hmm. and it's for their information. And I basically had generic lines for them, knowing that everybody had a good job, did a good job, and I knew nothing about what went on with Brad at all. So it was just, you know, just doing my thing.
What have your players told you, specifically those that played with the Blackhawks at the time? Did they know?
No, they didn't know. Most of the ones I've talked to, nobody knew.
Brent Sopel has come out and said players knew. You don't believe they did know. And the players you've talked to have said, we didn't know anything.
They didn't know. Some of them might have known. I didn't know.
Kyle Beach is a player. Was he ever on the radar to play for the Blackhawks? I know he was a draft pick, and he was in training camps and playing with your farm team in the American Hockey League. Was he a guy that was on the radar to potentially play and be a Blackhawk?
Oh, the fact that he... I think there was always, we always had a couple, three prospects around that were close to joining us based on our health and our injuries. We always had a lot of depth, and some years we, I don't recall getting too many seasons where the exposure where we had to go deep. And I just, you know, the fact that he didn't play, I'm sure he was discussed to come up on a call up here or there, but, you know, call ups are usually made by, you know, the team, watching the team, who's watching the team and getting reports. But, you know, on a need basis, you know, I don't know if that was ever a strong argument or a talk about. I don't recall ever having a discussion about it. Beachy's coming up.
So when Brad Aldridge was found guilty of assaulting a high school student in Michigan, I think he served 9 months in jail or was sentenced to 9 months. When did you hear about that? Was that prior to reading the report? And were you surprised to learn about that when you first heard about it?
Oh, I was surprised, disappointed, and I think I read it in a paper, and I had no clue know where he was at, what he was doing. And that was a, that might at least give me something to think about. But we were told that he was hanging around the players. But I didn't take that any other way than like, hanging around, you know, as coaches, you're not supposed to hang around players. It's obviously a thing that I take responsibility for, too.
If you knew he was hanging out with the players, I mean, that's an automatic get this guy out of here, fired immediately.
Thing is, like, it wasn't like it was that team was away from our team and at that time. So, like, it wasn't even, I didn't even know what these guys
explain
were.
Explain what their Black Ace is.
Black Ace was, you know, in the playoffs, you got your guys that are, you know, when you're 23 deep or 26 deep, based on the end of the season. Back then, I think the rosters might have been a little heavier with the additions at the end of the year. But you probably had a group of probably 7 or 8 guys that would be working out with the minor league, sometimes a coach or sometimes the NHL coaches would run their practices. But they kept themselves ready to go in case they have to be pulled out of the bullpen type of a scenario. And but we have called guys up out of that scenario, and I can recall a guy in that scenario ended up coming up and playing on the team that won.
When you were in the meeting after the San Jose series, was Kyle Beach's name brought up in the meeting?
No names.
Was Brad Aldridge's name brought up in the meeting?
No names. They could have said Brad's name, but I mean, it was a video coach for me. That's.
You only had one video coach, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you kind of had an idea. Like, were you thinking like at all about what to do with this guy, even when you left the meeting?
No, I wasn't thinking like that. I wasn't thinking what to do with Brad.
You coached the Blackhawks for several more years after that. You won 2 more Stanley Cups. You ended up winning the Stanley Cup that year. So you win 2 more Stanley Cups after that, 2013, 2015. So 3 Stanley Cups in all. Was this topic, was it ever brought up again?
No. In the 3 years, we had 3 different video coaches that won. And, I think that the story of Brad never was a problem, never was an issue, never got to the bottom of it.
You think this should be a coaching issue? Like when something like this is brought up, that this should be on the shoulders of the coach to take care of?
Well, what I learned over this process is that I definitely didn't handle it properly. I definitely should have handled it differently. I should have, whether confront Brad from what I heard or follow up and ask more questions to get to the seriousness of it, and then report it correctly and making sure that there's follow up off of that. And, whether it was a head of HR or, you know, top management, making sure that it's followed, you know, they follow through on the whole process.
So when you go to Florida, you find out about this, and then you're in New York, and they tell you got to resign. Did you fight to keep your job, or were you just kind of threw your hands up?
I don't want to talk too much about that process. That was a tough day. That was that was a long day. That was a tough day.
Billy Zito, the organization, like it was everything out of their hands. Is there anything they could have done for you to keep your job?
I'm not positive on that, but I'd say I don't think they did.
Kevin Cheveldayoff, he was in the meeting, correct, in May?
Yeah, I think he was there.
May of 2010. And he's now the general manager of the Winnipeg Jets. What makes his situation different than yours? Have you thought about that?
I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about that. I like Chevy. I'm happy and he's having a lot of success this year.
So you're not saying, well, he shouldn't be able to work because I can't work.
I'm not complaining about Chevy.
You ever asked the league, well, how come this guy can work and I can't?
I don't want to talk about that.
Do you think it's fair that you're not coaching?
Fair or whatever, depending on how you look at it. But I think that I deserve a chance to coach again.
You think you'll ever coach again?
Do I? I don't know. I think I coached my last game, and the next day I sit there. Geez, I'd like to get a hold of that team. That'd be fun to work with.
What team is that?
Well, a few teams right now. There's a list of about 10 right now that look like they, and the other 6 that are going to make the playoffs all have the same chance. So it's pretty wide open here.
What's been the response that you've gotten from people around the league, managers, coaches, former players of yours? I mean, how many people have reached out and shown support for you? And have there been others who have said, hey, Joel, I don't know, you should have done more. Should have done more.
Yeah, I should have done more. And but I've had, you know, I think that the hockey world's been, you know, behind the scenes. I talked to a lot of people. And, you know, again, it's not about me. It's about Kyle and what he has to deal with and had to go through all these years and survivors of sexual abuse and victims. And, you know, and that's the part that I got a little bit of enjoyment of the education I had in this process. Mm-hmm.
And what have you been doing to educate yourself?
Well, I did some things that, whether it's, you know, the Respect Group and Sheldon Kennedy and Chris Jensen, a couple of survivors have tremendous stories. And it turned out to be, you know, Chris has been a friend. And Carnegie Initiative being in Toronto. I mean, I don't want to go through all the stuff I did, but I did a lot. Mm-hmm. And I talked to a lot of different people about it and learned how to handle it. But some of the fun things I did coming out of there, I got to meet Mo Hashem, who was Hockey for Youth. And I want to shout out to Windsor School at St. Anne's Catholic and the girls there that I was so impressed in how he operated his story. You got to look him up, and Mo has done a great job. And I could talk about Brock McGillis. I could talk about this guy, that guy, and some of the people I worked with. I can talk about, there's a number of people, and that's the friendships that that grew out off of those relationships. I talked to whether they're lawyers, whether they're, been a very complex process of, 1 year to the next year mm-hmm. to the next year. And, but it's, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, we, understand that, we'd love to get back.
Do you think if the Blackhawks would have handled the matter differently, it could have prevented the assault from happening with the high school student in Michigan?
I'm not blaming anybody. It's hard to say. I don't know how that process played out after after the season or how it was left when he left. I don't know how that those discussions.
You and Stan went and talked to the coaches at the draft, I believe, last year. Who invited you to do that?
Might have been Bill Daly, but whether it's Gary or Bill or the department there. Prior year, I talked to all the general managers and coaches of the American League on a Zoom call, and it was well attended. It was a good process for me to, you know, just share a little bit about a lot of things. We didn't talk about this topic at all.
You didn't?
No, we just talked about, my experience in the American League and the coaches and a lot of young coaches in the American League. Maybe they get some pointers mm-hmm. and how to grow. And then we had this past year in fall in Chicago where had every general manager, every coach and Bill and the hockey, hockey staff. So there's probably about 70 something people in the room. That was intimidating. And I think that, I was just talking about my story and telling them what I thought I learned through that process and guys were supportive.
If the same situation were to take place today, what would you do? What would Joel Quenneville do?
Well, first off, if I knew everything what happened, I would follow the routine of reporting it immediately. I would have asked more questions in that meeting. I would have made sure that, and had I known what happened then, what I know now, what happened then, mm-hmm. I would have had no problem getting rid of the video coach.
Did Paul no Vincent? Problem. I believe he suggested to the organization they should go to the Chicago police. Were you there for that meeting or no?
I don't recall that.
Mike Babcock gets hired by Columbus. He gets fired prior to training camp. Say what you will about that decision to even bring him on board, but do you feel like that's impacted your ability to get back into the league? And if you were making any traction, that maybe set you back?
When I look back over the sequences of time, whether you're looking the first, second, or third year, there's probably been some instances where you think there's a greater probability of returning, And just when it looks like it's going to come, maybe it's around the corner. Maybe that's influencing the decision. And, or I was getting some bad breaks along the way with other situations, comparable. But no, I don't think my situation compares to theirs at all.
What was your message to the coaches, the NHL coaches?
I just kind of told them what, the process of, how to deal with the situation, reporting it, if it happens, I can go over that, step by step. But I think I was trying to go brief as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I know one thing, if I had another position, my main takeaway from that meeting would have been that, if I were to be hired again, first thing I would do is sit down with the president, the general manager, head of HR, and have a good discussion on how exactly we're going to handle allegations like that.
Anything come close to ever happening throughout your coaching career that came close to what took place here with Kyle Beach and the Blackhawks and any other stop that you had?
Not even close. No. This is too...
You were there for the Mike Danton situation, or
outside
the
box? No, I wasn't there. That was. I got fired right before the playoffs. Yeah.
What's been the hardest part for you and your family and dealing with all of this? And I know Kyle Beach is the victim, but again, you're second all time in the history of the league in wins. You're approaching 1,000 career wins. Be just the second coach in NHL history to get there. Do you think about that? Do you think about the Hall of Fame, all of that stuff? Is that even creeping to your mind right now?
No, I think that, getting back would have been the first objective, the fun process of trying to win and trying to get the guys to come together as a team gets me excited. I look back and, there's been some fun process, but the toughest thing through this whole process for me is how the family has been, they read all that stuff. They see all that stuff. And, seeing their dad as a promoting and not handling sexual assault, that's disturbing, knowing that it's not fact.
When you hear people say Joel Quenneville, he enabled a sexual predator. I mean, that's heavy, right?
Yeah, not true. And so, but at the same time, I should have pushed enough buttons to get there.
How has it impacted your family? Are they, you mentioned they read and everything.
Well,
have they been pretty supportive? They think you're going to get back in?
They're supportive as always. Everybody's been great through this whole process. That support's been outstanding. I think that we live it every day. And, I think that, eventually, we're trying to stay positive and reaching out and talking about this today can help some awareness as well.
Why is it taking you so long to speak publicly?
Well, I'm going to be honest right off the bat. I didn't think I was going to miss a game. And the process was that what transpired, I had to respect the process. And there was probably some instances along the way where there was probably a couple of occasions where I thought maybe it was right around the corner and I misread the situation where we are here today. And I blame that on myself. But I always felt that I was doing my job. I was staying in my lane. I think that that's where it's at.
You think you deserve to be suspended or to, I don't even know if you call it, it's not suspended. You're not suspended from the NHL, but you have to be reinstated in order to coach again. So whatever you want to call it in terms of where your standing is with the league, but do you feel like you deserve the punishment you received?
Well, I think I deserve to come back and get an opportunity to coach. I've worked with a lot of guys, a lot of players, have a lot of respect for the players, the trainers, my peers, treat them like professionals. I had a miss in 2010. And I own it. At the same time, I believe that there's a place for me in the game.
you worry about how the fans or how an individual market would react to them hiring you? And do you think the league is concerned about that?
I think that's problem could be part of the holdup. I'm not sure exactly the what's, you know, I think we feel like we deserve some consideration.
When's the last time you talked to Gary Bettman?
I talked to him probably a couple months ago.
And has he given you any indication that he was considering reinstating you, or had you pled your case and say, hey, I want back in? And what does he say when you tell him that?
We've had several discussions. I've been there a few times, more than a few times in New York, and some phone calls. And so we've had a lot of discussions.
Has Kyle Beach said he'd support you coaching again? Have you asked him that?
I don't know. I didn't ask him that.
So what's the next step now for Joel Quenneville? You just wait?
I've been more than patience, you know, and patient as well. And I think that what's the next move? You know, I can be stubborn. I can be continue to persevere. At some point, you know, been away from the game for a long time. You know, it's getting, I don't know how easy it is to get back on that bike.
You think it would be difficult to do?
Not going to be easy.
In what way?
You know, you're getting older.
Still coach though, right?
Yeah, I've been fortunate though. We've had some great teams, and I think that really helps your message being delivered.
And you still keep in touch with the trends of the game and where the game is going and all that, right?
Well, I love watching the game.
Who's the best team in the league right now?
I think that one division in the East in Florida, those four teams, top four teams, look like any of them could win.
You ever think about
go ahead.
What could have been if you stayed with that Florida team?
Yeah, there's a lot of quotas and couldas in the coaching world. So that's the business. And the ups and downs are tremendous. And it's we were talking yesterday about how hard it was a championship. And we left some meat on the table here in St. Louis by not winning when we were there with a pretty good hockey team. We were a very good hockey team. Mm-hmm. And that's how hard it is to win. And so we've been fortunate in a lot of places that we've had some success. And I've coached some great players. But I'd welcome that.
You've got some critics out there, which I'm sure you've seen, right? Media specifically. What would your message be to those that have taken so many shots at you?
Well, I try not to read too much, and I don't look at and read a lot of stuff when I'm in season, and since I haven't been coaching, I don't like reading about myself, or you know, whether it's a pat on the back or a kick in the butt. So that's my nature. I can't control that.
I've asked you earlier in our conversation, but I'll ask you again: how would you characterize where you are in terms of your ability to get back behind a bench? Are you hopeful? Are you optimistic? Are you confident? Are you not confident?
Oh, my ability to do it would be 100%. My ability to be able to, that numbers. I could flip a coin.
Do you hope to talk to Gary Bettman again?
I'd like to come back and get a chance to coach again.
How would you characterize your relationship with Stan when you guys were working together? You guys get along, see eye to eye, regular coach GM relationship?
I would say we're fine. We're fine. I think that, I think as a GM, I mean, at that time, I was with Larry Plough for a long time, probably at least 8 years, I think, with Larry. We had a good relationship, and we worked well together at Pierre Lacroix, at, Stan. Stan was kind of quiet, and so he was fine.
You see his situation that he's in right now, similar to yours? I mean, he's not allowed to manage right now, correct?
Yeah, we're in the same boat. I believe we're in the same boat.
Have you talked?
I talked to him a few times. We're in Chicago there together, talking to the coaches, and I saw him there.
So you're not going over your situations together on a weekly basis, talking to him?
No, not at all.
Should they be put in the same category? Are they the same or are they different?
Well, I'm not the referee.
What about John McDonough, the president? I feel like his name hasn't gotten as much attention, certainly as yours or Stan's. Does he deserve greater responsibility, at least from a public standpoint, than maybe he's been given?
I'm not blaming or expanding who to blame or how much to blame. You know, but I think as the head of the organization, I think that, I think that he was in charge.
Did you think he would take care of it?
I would expect that somebody around there, the upper management, was taking care of it.
And eventually he did, I assume, right? 3 weeks later, but it wasn't done right away, but he was the one who presented it to HR, correct?
I am assuming that. I don't know the steps that were taken.
Did John ever follow back up with you about this whole situation?
Never.
Even after?
Never.
Brad was fired?
No.
He didn't call you and say, hey, we fired Brad?
I had one phone call, and I'm not sure exactly who it was that called me, but that was... outside of that, and that meeting was basically the discussion on our video coach.
What are you hoping for now?
Now, I'd like to come back in a good spot, in a good situation to coach.
Are you in a situation now where you would be picky in terms of where you went? Are you taking any job that comes open, or you still feel like, hey, listen, I'm Joel Quenneville. I've won a lot of games. I want a specific type of roster that I know I can win with now versus going into some type of rebuild?
Good question. I don't know what the marketplace is like. I don't know what's in the marketplace. I don't know how that would play out. I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Your wife and kids, they want you to coach again?
I think so. Maybe not everybody.
Thanks for doing this, Joel. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
The Camastrick Podcast is brought to you by Behlmann. Behlmann. Behlmann Automotive. Located where?
Troy,
Missouri. Buick GMC on one side of the street. Right on the other side, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Get yourself some new wheels in time for the winter. All right, that was Joel Quenneville on the Camastrick Podcast.
Damn, man. What do you guys think? What do you guys think, you know? For him to come on and talk for the first time, like, what'd you guys think? How did he handle any of these questions? Mm-hmm. You let us know. I thought he did pretty good. You know, there's still some questions, like, he could have...
Listen.
He made some mistakes. And we all know that.
He's acknowledging those. I don't want to get into reacting to the interview on this episode. I think maybe we do it next episode. I want to let people decide for themselves.
That's cool.
Listen to it.
You did a good job.
Listen to it myself because I was here, but I want to go back and watch it.
Yeah.
And
it was good, man.
Remind myself. You know how it is, Cam. You do an interview sometimes, you know, sometimes I can't even remember what we just talked about, you know, like talk to somebody for an hour long, you know?
Most of the time it's we're having fun.
Yeah.
But this was like an exclusive. Andy had to do it. Like he had the timeline of everything. This wasn't a jokey, fun podcast like we do with pretty much every single other ones that we do.
Yeah.
Another situation where I could say that you would need another one-on-one, like, but this was completely different. This is one of the most interesting stories in NHL history.
Maybe one of the biggest scandals in NHL history.
Biggest scandals. And so with one of the, you know, the best coaches in NHL history.
Who hasn't been allowed back in the league.
Who people love. He needed to talk, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that he was in town for this event.
It was planned beforehand.
Yeah, but it just worked out better.
It worked out better to do it in person. We had been talking about doing the...
I'll tell you this. A lot of people are rooting for him. A lot of people in the hockey world, just so you know. There's a lot of monsters last weekend, and they love that man. They do. They respect the shit out of Joel Quenneville.
Well, I can say this.
Big time.
He talks to players... on a weekly basis, whether it's Marion Hossa, Duncan Keith, the Jonathan Taves, Kane, who obviously is playing right now, so he's got, you know, other stuff going on. You know, Seabrook, like all these guys, man. Daniel Carcillo has been a guy who we all know how outspoken he's been. Extremely supportive of Joel Quenneville. And I'm sure there's been some maybe who haven't been.
Well, Brent Sopel.
Brent Sopel's a guy who...
You asked him about that?
Did. So... It's not a situation where, you know, I mentioned Duncan Keith and whatever. There's just been a lot of guys who I think that's helped him throughout this process. Not to make him the victim in all of this, and I get all that, you know, because you have Kyle Beach and you got to be very sensitive to his situation, but we're focusing on Joel right now for the purpose of this conversation right now. You know, he has not been allowed to get back into the league. Others have. You know, you look at Kevin Cheveldayoff, who was in the meeting with the Blackhawks, who is, you know, the general manager of the Winnipeg Jets. People wonder, hey, what's the difference in situation? I know he's the head coach.
The way it all went down is kind of bizarre. Like, it really was. Yeah. Everything about
it. Well, you know what else? And you know, even Kyle, who remained with the organization, you know, and
for a long time,
was in training camps following, you know, it was never talked about. He's coming back to training camp for the next several years after this
question marks,
incident, and it's never really even being discussed internally, ever being discussed internally with the organization. Like,
the whole thing's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, it is. It is. But I'm glad he spoke. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are going to be, they're going to have an opinion on it one way or the other.
And some people, you won't change their opinion.
No,
right?
And that's fine.
And I don't think the idea here is to change anybody's opinion.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think he will be allowed back into the NHL.
Yeah.
To coach again. I don't think.
I do too.
This isn't like a situation that deserves a lifetime ban, in my opinion.
No. It was a mess up, but.
It was a mess up, but yep. I mean, a guy who had a pretty clean track record up to that point.
I know.
Are you in position to just never let them coach again? I don't know. That's a decision. I will say, you know, Gary Bettman, as the commissioner of the NHL, you know, he's got a lot of power.
He does. I'm interested to see what the fans think.
Gets to make the decision.
I'm interested to see what the fans think of Chicago, St. Louis, just places he's been. Mm-hmm. Their overall fan base in the NHL. What do they think? What do you think of this interview? You know what I mean? Do you think he should get another chance? Would you, if you were an owner of an NHL team, would you roll the dice and take one of the best coaches?
Would you push the league to allow you to hire him?
I would. And maybe you will take some flack from the fans, but I think that would eventually go away, just like everything else does. So you're right. This is not it was a mess up. He could have done a lot, and he talked about it. He could have done some things differently that would have changed the outcome. But on the other hand, I think that he deserves a second chance. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Stan Bowman, too.
Yeah. Stan Bowman, too.
I'd love to hear from John McDonough.
I know. Can we get him on, please?
I'd love to hear from John McDonough as the president of the team.
Can we get him on, please?
Maybe. I don't know if he'll talk.
You know.
So, anyway.
Anyway, we're trying to be like, this is kind of like a serious thing. Yeah. So we're not crazy today. Like, we're usually talking about back end, blah, blah, blah. But this is a different interview, man. So we're kind of like
trying
to be too serious, my bad.
I'll be curious to hear the feedback from people who listen and let us know. And then next week we'll dive a little more into it.
Yeah.
Although we'll be getting ready for the playoffs too, so.
Playoffs with who?
We'll be getting ready for the playoffs. And
Well,
watch the playoffs.
I was talking about the Blues and they're not going to do it. Although Bennington lost his mind the other day. I saw Colton Parayko fight for the first time in a long time. How many fights do you think he's been into?
Three, apparently.
He did pretty good.
I went and I saw another one that he was in against Richie with the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, okay.
A little while back. I didn't remember the fight.
I don't remember any of his fights.
And to see, you know.
He did pretty good.
He looked more comfortable.
He looked like he knew how to throw a punch.
Correct.
I was like, what is he going to do here? And he just,
I thought
that could hurt somebody.
I thought Colton Parayko this season has been way more aggressive.
He's been good.
You know what I mean? Good. After the whistle, all that type of stuff.
I see, even on that road trip I went on, like the way he played in some of those games, he was
hard. He doesn't play soft. Dude, you know what I'm saying?
He was so dominant.
I know people don't.
He was so
dominant. Not a guy that, like, with his size, you think he should be doing some of that more often, the fighting and all that. But, like,
I don't care about this. Get people off the
puck. But he wins battles left and right, and he competes his ass off.
No, he was the best player on the ice a couple times, by far.
Oh, yeah. Throughout the course of the season?
He was the best player on the ice in some of these games. Yeah. He was pretty good teams. Like, it was just obvious. Yeah. Batting pucks down, making plays, doing this, getting assists in overtime, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
So anyway.
All right, Cam and Strick podcast brought to you by First Form, as always, firstform.com/CamandStrick. Check out their website. Always use our link. check out all the apparel and everything else, the bars, the energy drinks.
These bad boys, right? Ha! Yeah, baby.
Hat Launch, baby, and hatlaunch.com. Every hat tells a story, Cam.
You're right.
They are the absolute greatest in hat history.
They're pretty dang good. And they're St. Louis, too. I love it.
They're making you look more stylish, one hat at a time, baby.
I wish we had a hat for the event we just went to.
I know. We talked about that.
I just wish we had all in our stall had a hat launch hat.
Next time.
Next time.
Next time.
Absolutely. We had no control over any of that, but it would be nice.
And great job, Chaser, once again, man.
Damn good.
It's great to see his boys, too, man.
You know, they did good. Handsome kids. All of them. You know.
Illinois Recovery Center, Cam.
Illinois Recovery Center.
IRC. Right IllinoisRecoveryCenter.com.
Swansea, Illinois.
They got a beautiful bed waiting for you.
Get you. They'll get you right. Mm-hmm. They'll get you right. You'll become normal again, mm-hmm. and your family will be happy.
Yeah. You may think sometimes you're going to go into like a facility and you're going to be uncomfortable because they don't understand. Like, it's like no one understands.
No, they'll understand you. They've seen it all. They've been through it all.
They've been through it personally. They've been through That's it, man. What separates them.
It's tough, dude. You know when you're an addict too. Like if you're an addict and you talk to somebody that maybe knows the technical terms of everything and what happens with you, mm-hmm. but they've never been through it.
It's completely different.
They went through hell and back.
Yeah, that's different.
Legit mm-hmm. hell.
I know.
That if you want to know what hell on earth is,
and now off
fucking heroin.
And now they like they can speak your language, if that makes sense. They know
they're
exactly
help you.
What you're saying.
I remember I told you I go in there and I talk to the patients. I could just tell.
Yeah.
Who's in week one? Who's in week two? Who's in week three? Who's in week four? Yeah. They're not happy. A little bit happier, and then once you're in week four, everybody's like running around. Hey, guy, how you doing? You got your emotion back.
Mm-hmm.
IRC IllinoisRecoveryCenter.com.
Bellman, baby, at Bellman you get no
swinging dicks.
No swinging dicks. You do get a Buick GMC. Lots of options there.
Options
for all
summertime's
seasons,
here, baby. Summertime.
Other side of the street, you could just throw a rock and you could hit the Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. They've got something for everybody.
Yeah.
Cam's looking at that pink Jeep, two doors, soft top, small wheels.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with that, but obviously I can't really fit in the Jeeps that much.
Oh, God, really? I didn't think that was an issue for you.
Yeah, no, I know. It is.
Really?
They're not as comfortable.
Because your hands are so big?
No, I don't know what it is. It's not very comfortable.
Cam is an unusual human being with his size of his body.
I know. My hand, people are like, I'm shaking hands and hugging people all fucking night. Every time, it's like, God, your hands are monstrous.
You should be 6'3".
Your hands are gigantic.
You should be 6'3".
That's why I can
not 5'10".
That's why I can grab people like Andy. I'd rather grab you and be like, and twist you up and be like, bam, and put you right there.
Dude, you did that to somebody during the game. You rubbed them off on the wall.
Big Georgie.
No, it was not.
It was Pyros.
And the guy hit.
I think it was Peros.
No, dude.
No, because I had to do a couple little things.
It was somebody smaller than you.
What?
And they hit their head on the glass.
Them?
It was very reminiscent of what you did to me.
It wasn't that bad.
It was the same same rank, different sheet.
God, I felt strong.
Did you? For a guy who's 5'10", like he should be like.
I'm 6 foot. No, 5'11 and 3/4". Fine. 5'11 and 3/4". But I could pick Kojo up. I wanted to fucking pick you up and pin you.
Mm-hmm. You had a Danny boy.
Hey, Danny. What's up, homie?
And Kenny?
Kenny. God damn, Kenny.
Dale.
Dale. Tell your brother I said, hey.
What's his brother's name?
Dale. No. Love you guys, by the way.
Yeah, listen, hope you enjoyed this episode and this conversation. Can't wait to hear
hear the feedback. We got some good ones coming up, too.
We do. Subscribe to our Instagram. Follow us on Instagram,
YouTube.
Twitter, YouTube. Subscribe.
Comment
hit
on
that
everything.
Subscribe. Hit that 5-star button. Crush it.
Yeah.
And
follow
leave some
shit.
Comments on YouTube. You want to watch the interview, go to YouTube.
We love all you guys.
You can listen to it
way.
As well, but if you want to watch it, go to YouTube as well. So hope you enjoyed it, and we appreciate I thank Joel Quimble.
Big time.
And all those around him,
good
his family,
for him to
everybody.
Do this, man. That's pretty cool.
For trusting us with the first time that he speaks publicly. So
cool. Love you guys.
Joel.
See you later.
Peace.